ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखनिदांश्च। नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तसिद्धान्त सरस्वती नामिने। श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी दयिताया कृपाब्दये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं दायिते प्रभवे नमः। माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तुते। नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धापसिद्धान्तद्वान्दहारिणे। नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्बोधे पदाम्बुजाय ते नमः। नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनूगवराय ते। गौराविर्भवभूमे स्त्वं निर्दिष्टा सज्जनप्रिया वैष्णवा सार्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। तत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विजम्। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्द राधाकान्द नमोऽस्तु ते। जयतां सुरतो भाङ्गोर्मम मन्दमतिर्गति मत्सर्वस्वपदाम्भोजौ राधामदनमोहनौ। दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमन्द्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थो श्रीमन्द्राधाशीलगोविन्ददेवो प्रेष्ठालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि। श्रीमन्द्रासरसारम्भी वंशीपटतटस्थितां कर्षान् वेणुस्वनेर्गोपैर्गोपीनाथा श्रिये स्तु नाः। काञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
when we discussed this universal form last Saturday, if you remember that we had a we talked about this situation with Arjuna. Arjuna is saying that he was frightened of seeing Krishna in the universal form. And we also discussed about this. We said why Arjuna felt so frightened. The reason for that, isn't it? Why was Arjuna getting frightened about seeing the universal form? On the other hand, a similar form appeared in front of Vamana Murti, Mahabali also, isn't it? When Krishna appeared in the form of Vamana Murti, as Lord Vamana, Mahabali didn't get frightened. On the other hand, Arjuna got frightened. Why is that? That is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Mahabali's situation was that Mahabali saw that Krishna is present in everything. That means he could not separate himself from Krishna. Krishna's presence in Mahabali also Mahabali recognized. When there is two things, there will be one will be fearful of the other. That is the principle. In Srimad Bhagavatam, very clearly spoken about that. When there are two things, one will be always fearful about the second. Bhayam dhidhiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad abhedasya vipadeyo smriti. Kavi Maharshi says that. So, why we are frightened of duality? Duality brings fear in everyone's mind. You will know that in the Bhagavatam, when they begin Srimad Bhagavatam, what do they say? They say that vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam. He says, there is no duality there. Advayam. Advayam is this nature of the truth. That advayam is free from duality, free from dundvam. In other words, duality. So wherever there is duality, there is fear. Mahabali's case, there was no duality. Arjuna's case, there was duality. Arjuna felt always separated from Krishna. And he is seeing that universal form because of the lack of maturity in Arjuna's part. That's what it is. Mahabali, although Shukracharya, because Shukracharya has taught Mahabali all the principles of spiritual life. You have to forget that. You should not forget that point. Mahabali, we consider Brahmanyanam Balistvam. In the Bhagavatam it says, among all the great Brahmanas, this demon Mahabali has the greatest Brahminical qualifications. Just imagine that. Brahmanyanam Balistvam. That Mahabali, it, among the opulences of Krishna, when the Vibhuti is spoken, among all the Brahmanas, Krishna is Mahabali, it says. Brahmanyanam Brahmanyam. Brahmanyam means Brahminical quality. It is the highest in Mahabali, in spite of the fact that we call him a demon. Just try to understand that principle. That if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see in so many places that Kamsa talking Vedantam, Hiranyakashipu talking Vedantam. All those people, they are not ordinary people. They have deeper understanding of things. Not that they are ignorant people. They are not ignorant. Mahabali also, although he was best among the demons, in some places he is addressed like that. But still, the understanding he had from Shukracharya has taught him the eternal principle of the soul. And Mahabali is very well aware that one who is present right in front of him now, standing there and talking to him, is that Antaryami who is present in everyone as the soul, and including Mahabali. And that was Mahabali's strength. Arjuna didn't have that realization yet. So that is why Mahabali didn't get frightened. When the whole Vamanamurti expanded to such levels, still Mahabali kept cool and didn't get concerned about it. Arjuna was feeling that he had the fear that that thing is going to take control of him. He is always feeling separate from him. So, this universal form is nothing but time personified. We talked about that before, isn't it? Time personified is up to the 10th chapter, including the 10th chapter, Krishna spoke about the eternity of the soul and everything on the spiritual platform. You don't see time and space coming in there, anywhere in the first 10 chapters. It's only in the 11th chapter what you find, the space and the time, both are projected there. Both are projected there. You can notice that universal form is taking a lot of personalities inside, and so many personalities are coming out from there, which is under the influence of time. And you also notice there personalities like Bhishma, Drona, and many great souls, they were all being swallowed up by the time. In other words, they are all subject to the time. Time means Kalam. Kalapurushan he is called. Krishna is Kalapurusha. Kalapurusha means, which we discussed before also, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned also in the beginning. So, Arjuna is saying to him that, please change this form. I cannot stand this form of this universal form. Being separated from that, he is feeling in that way. And he told, he got so frightened that you will see that in the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look verse 45, that's where we stopped before. Verse 45, 11th chapter. Adrishta purvam kshitosmi drishtvam bhayena japravyadidham manome tadeva me darshaya devarupam prasida devesha jagannivasam adrishta purvam kshitosmi drishtvam bhayena japravyadidham manome tadeva me darshaya devarupam prasida devesha jagannivasam. Adrishta purvam kshitosmi drishtva bhayena japram vyadidham manome tadeva me darshaya devarupam prasida devesha jagannivasa. Here, after, if you read the translation, you'll see there, after seeing that universal form which I have never seen before, I am gladdened, but at the same time my mind is disturbed with fear. Arjuna is saying, therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe. Adrishta purvam krishidosmi drishtva bhayena japravyadidam manome tadeva me darshaya devarupam prasida devesha jagannivasa. So, Arjuna's response is, after he got frightened seeing that form, he would not like to see that anymore, he says. Please come back to your original form. And at that time, Arjuna's request was to come back in the four-handed form. Isn't it? He did not say about coming back to the two-handed form of Krishna, rather to the four-handed form of Krishna. That's what you will see in the next verse. Kiridinam gadinam chakrahastam ichami tvam drishtumaham tadheiva tenaiva rupena chadurbhujena sahasrabaho bhavavishwamurte kiridinam gadinam chakranam chakrahastam ichami tvam drishtumaham tadheiva tenaiva rupena chadurbhujena sahasrabaho bhavavishwamurte. Arjuna is saying to Krishna that at the moment kiridinam gadinam chakrahastam ichami tvam drishtumaham tadheiva tenaiva rupena chadurbhujena sahasrabaho bhavavishwamurte. Sahasrabaho means one who has got thousands of hands. Tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena, please come back to that chaturbhuja form, the four-handed form, because I would like to see that form. And in that response to that, Krishna says to Arjuna, because you wanted to see that form of universal form, that is why I have shown that to you. And That is only reason why I shown this form to you, of the universal form. Because after seeing the, hearing about Krishna's vibhuti, if you remember, we talked about this in the end of the 10th chapter, how this universal form got manifested. When Arjuna heard about Krishna's vibhuti, you have to see that flow in the Bhagavad Gita, how it came to this state. In the 9th chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna, Satatam kirtayandomam yadandascha dhradavrata namasyandascha mam bhaktya nityayukta upasade. That the process of surrender Krishna has spoken, always chanting the name, glory, holy name of the Lord continuously, always engaged in Satatam yadandascha dhradavrata, on full determination, and continuously paying obeisances to Krishna. Namasyandascha mam bhaktya nityayukta upasade. Krishna said all that. Question came up, Arjuna asked, whom do I pay my obeisances to? So, because Arjuna hasn't come to that state of realization yet, Krishna says to Arjuna that first of all, try to see my presence in everything wonderful in this world. That is how the next chapter came about, the 10th chapter, where all the great opulences were spoken, isn't it? All great opulences of Krishna in this creation. Where Krishna mentions, I am this, among the mountains, I am Himalayas, among the oceans, I am Sagaram, like that, among the rivers, I am Ganga River, like this, a number of things Krishna has spoken. After saying all that, Krishna says to Arjuna, beyond all these things, there is one most important opulence of me. What is that? Aham Atma Guna Gesha Sarvabhuta Shastita. I am present in everyone in the form of awareness. In the form of awareness, I am present in everybody. And that is the greatest opulence, Krishna is saying. Only we can appreciate that when you think about this. Aham Atma Gudagesha Sarva Bhudashayastida Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha, Krishna is saying there. It's a very important statement in the Bhagavad Gita that Aham Atma, I am the soul present in everybody. That is the first important realization for everybody. In fact, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this Brahma confirming this to Krishna. Brahma says this in Brahma Stuti. If you read, you will find the same thing coming there. Narayanastvam nahi sarvadehinam atma sadisha gila logasakshi. That you are that Narayana who is present in everyone's heart. Atma sadisha gila logasakshi. That is you, he says to Krishna. Narayanastvam nahi sarvadehinam atma sadisha gila logasakshi. And he says that even Narayana, who is lying down in the ocean on the Adishesha, even that is not real. Brahma makes a statement in the Bhagavatam that is not real. What does he say there? Narayanastvam nahi sarvadehinam atma sadisha gila loka sakshi. Narayanatvam narabhu jalayanam tochayvam satyam namayam. That even that is not true. If I will read that verse, that in the Bhagavatam, how Krishna, Brahma puts it to Krishna, that what is real for us today is Krishna's presence inside. That's the only thing what we know about Krishna, isn't it? Everything else what is spoken in the other places, in the Srimad Bhagavatam or elsewhere, we don't know about it. We haven't got the right direct experience of that. But this one thing nobody can deny, is it? Nobody can deny about Krishna's presence inside all of us. Narayanatvam nahi sarvadehinam atma sadisha agila loka sakshi narayanongam narabhu jalayanam tachabhi satyam na taveva maya. Even that is not satyam. That is also Krishna's maya. That is how Brahma says to Krishna. Normally, when we read books, we imagine in our mind, isn't it, that so many forms of Krishna. Krishna present in so many places. Tache jalastam tavasa jagadvapu kim mena drishtam bhagavam stadeiva kim vasudrishtam hadime tadeiva kim no sabadyeva punarvedarshi. There are so many things Brahma is talking to Krishna. And there he says, even that is not true. So here, because it is like that, that Arjuna, so in the 10th chapter, when this particular opulence was spoken, what was that? Ahamalma Gudakesha. Krishna is present in everyone's heart as the soul. Everyone, inside everyone as the soul. That should be taken very, very seriously. It's an important realization, spiritual life, because that is where everything is happening. It's not happening in the world outside. It is right now here. That is why Krishna is again repeatedly stressing that Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Kriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantra Arutani Mayaya. That Ishvara Sarvabhudanam, and then next verse he says Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharada Yel Prasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsesi Shashvadam. So, Shanti, or that peaceful state, what Krishna mentions in many places in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, has to happen here, not in the world outside. That is why that realization is most important. And Arjuna, on the other hand, was trying to find something in the world outside. To take Arjuna's attention away from the world, to go towards the soul, place where one should be looking for the truth. And that is why all this universal form was spoken and shown to Arjuna. Arjuna saw that, and Kalavrushan, time personified, was only to frighten Arjuna to take his attention to the soul. So at that point, when Arjuna said he is frightened, you can see what Krishna answers to that in the next verse. Shri Bhagavan Vacham Maya Prasannina Tava Arjunetam Rupam Varam Darshitam Atma Yogad Tejomayam Vishwamanandam Adhyam Yenme Tadanyena Drishta Purvam Maya Prasannina Tava Arjunetam Rupam Varam Darshitam Atma Yogad Tejomayam Vishwam Anandam Adhyam Yenme Tadanyena Anyena Drishta Purvam Maya Prasannena Tava Arjunetam Rupam Varam Darshitam Atma Yogad Tejomayam Vishwam Anandam Adhyam Yenmeto Anyena Drishta Purvam. Krishna is saying, Arjuna, happily do I show you this universal form within the material world by my internal potency. No one before you have ever seen this unlimited and glaringly effulgent form. So, that is, Krishna is saying, I have shown this to you because you wanted to see this form, and I have only shown this to you. No one else has seen this before. When Krishna says that, what you have to understand is this particular form, what Arjuna has experienced, others haven't experienced. But there are many other instances when Krishna has shown the universal form to Mother Yashoda twice. In the assembly of Dhritarashtra, to Duryodhana and others once. To Mahabali again. To King Satyavrata it was shown. So many instances, universal form has been shown. So, nobody has seen it before. So in the next verse he says, Navede yardhe nirnadane Najakriya birnatabo birugrehi Evam rupa shakyamaham nriloke Drishtam tadanyena kuru praviram Navedayajnyadhyener nadanei Najakriyabirnatabho virugrehi Evam rupa shakyamaham nriloke Drishtam tadanyena kuru praviram. That is Krishna's answer. Last words and this one. He says, Navedayajnyardhene adhyener nadane na chakriyabir na tabobirugre evam rupam shakyam aham nuloge drishtam tadanyena kurupravira. He says to Arjuna, Arjuna, no one before you has ever seen this universal form, for neither by studying the Vedam, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charities or similar activities can this form be seen. Only you have seen this. So this form is Krishna's mercy. He wanted to show this to Arjuna. Being feeling merciful to Arjuna, Arjuna had this great difficulty. because of this relationship with Krishna as a friend, Arjuna could not understand what Krishna is. So Arjuna kept thinking that sometimes he got confused that the way he had to deal with Krishna in many instances. Isn't it? We have seen that in the last few classes. So here you can see, seeing Arjuna's difficulty, Krishna showed the universal form and he says to Arjuna that no one will be able to see this form again because it is not known. Don't get frightened about it. And he pacifies Arjuna in this. He is pacifying Arjuna here. That's what you find there. So the next verse you will see. There is nothing much to talk about on these verses because it's just the final conclusion of this. Main topic has already been covered in the previous verses. What we have to understand from this universal form. That's already been spoken. It's only Krishna is slowly leading us to the next chapter, which is the Bhakti Yoga. Why Bhakti comes in now? That is why the next important chapter is the Bhakti Yoga chapter. So he says here, 49. Madevyadama javimudhavom drishtvarubam goramidranmamedam vibhedabi pridamana punastvam tadeva me rupamidam prapashyam ma devyadama javimodhabhavam drishtva rupam goramidranmamedam vibhedabi pridamana punastvam tadeva me rupamidam prapashyam madevyadamaja vimudhavavo drishtvarupam ghoramedam mamedam vibhedabi pridamana punastvam tadeva me rupamidam prapashyam. Krishna says to Arjuna, your mind has been perturbed upon seeing this horrible feature of mine. He says, Krishna himself says it's a horrible feature, this universal form. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. He says, now you can see the form, what you want to see. So Krishna decided to show that four-handed form to Arjuna. And after showing the four-handed form, Krishna went back to the chariot and sat there in the two-handed form. With the rein in the hand, and just like the human form, Krishna has spoken, foreshowed that form to Arjuna, and now Arjuna has become peaceful because Krishna knew that even the four-handed form, Arjuna will be a little bit confused, so he moved back straight away into the two-handed form. So. After that, now what's happening is that Sanjaya comes back now in this chapter. Sanjaya is talking to Dhritarashtra that this four-handed form and the two-handed form was only shown because Arjuna requested the four-handed, but to make him more peaceful, you showed him the two-handed form. As I said before, from now onwards, Krishna is slowly taking us to the next important chapter, Bhakti Yoga, to talk to us about Bhakti. And the importance of Bhakti is in the next few verses, you will see. Asanjaya vacham ityarjunam vasudeva tathoktva svagam rupam darshayamasa bhuyam ashvasayamasa bhidamenam bhutva punasaumya vapor mahatma సంజయ ఉవాచ ఇతి అర్జునం వాసుదేవస్తథోక్త్వా స్వకం రూపం దర్శయామాస భూయ ఆశ్వాసయామాస జవిదమేనం భూత్వా పునః సౌమ్యవపోర్మహాత్మా. సంజయ ఉవాచ ఇతి అర్జునం వాసుదేవస్తథోక్త్వా స్వగం రూపం దర్శయామాస భూయ ఆశ్వాసం ఏవా ఆశ్వాసయామాస భీతమేనం భూత్వా పునః సౌమ్యవపోర్ మహాత్మా. సంజయ సెట్ టు ధృతరాష్ట్ర, ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ కృష్ణ వైల్ స్పీకింగ్ దస్ టు అర్జున డిస్ప్లేడ్ హిస్ రియల్ ఫోర్ ఆర్మ్డ్ ఫార్మ్ అండ్ అట్ లాస్ట్ హీ షోడ్ హిమ్ హిస్ టూ ఆర్మ్డ్ ఫార్మ్ దస్ ఎన్కరేజింగ్ ది ఫియర్ఫుల్ అర్జున జస్ట్ కృష్ణ షోడ్ ద 200 ఫార్మ్ టు మేక్ హిమ్ పీస్ఫుల్ ఇన్ హిస్ ఒరిజినల్ ఫార్మ్. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ నౌ వాట్ ఈస్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ విత్ అర్జున. అర్జున ఇస్ సేయింగ్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్డ్స్, అర్జున ఉవాచ దృష్ట్వేదం మానుషం రూపం తవ సౌమ్యం జనార్దన ఇదానీమస్మి సంవృత సచేదా ప్రకృతిం గదాహం. అర్జున ఉవాచ దృష్ట్వేదం మానుషం రూపం తవ సౌమ్యం జనార్దన ఇదానీం అస్మి సంవృత సచేదా ప్రకృతిం గదాహం. అర్జున ఉవాచ దృష్ట్వేదం మానుషం రూపం తవ సౌమ్యం జనార్దన ఇదానీం అస్మి సంవృత సచేదా ప్రకృతిం గదా. Arjuna is saying, while Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, my mind is now pacified and I am restored to my original nature. So, when Krishna sat on the chariot with the rein in the hand and started driving the chariot, Arjuna became cooled down. Arjuna became a little bit pacified at that moment, because that sudden experience of that universal form has really shocked Arjuna. It's completely shocked him. But when he saw Krishna in this friendly form, two-handed form, and Krishna who has played with him, who moved around as in a friendly way, and who slept and joked with him, mind became very peaceful in Arjuna's. Arjuna's mind became very peaceful. So, then Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sudurdasham idam rupam drishtavanasi yanmama deva apyasi rupasya nityam darshanakankshina. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha సుదృర్దశమి రూపం దృష్టవానసి మమ దేవా అప్యస్య రూపస్య నిత్యం దర్శనకాంక్షిణ. సో వెన్ ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ 51 వర్సెస్ వెన్ కృష్ణ మెన్షన్ టు అర్జున హి సేస్ ఐ హావ్ కమ్ బ్యాక్ టు మై నార్మల్ స్టేట్ temporarily I have got shaken. Arjuna says idanim asmi samvrita sajada prakritim gata. In the last verse you can see that I have come to a normal state now, and this vision of this time personified has not been seen by anyone before in the form like the way Arjuna has seen. That's important. That is the time personified, because you see, till the end of 10th chapter, there is no time and space in the Bhagavad Gita. It is the eternal truth is spoken, isn't it, in relationship with the soul. There is no reference to time and space till then. But here, for the first time, Krishna brought time and space into Bhagavad Gita. Do you understand what I'm saying? Time and space has come into Bhagavad Gita in this 11th chapter. And normally you can see how time and space brings changes in us. We also get affected by time and space, isn't it? Long distance we feel is always a long distance creates a kind of fear inside. who's so far, we say, from here. That means in our identification with the body, you feel a gap, a big gap between in the distance. Practically, distance is not a truth. Only in identification with the body, distance is a truth. In identification with the soul, distance is not a truth. Similarly, identification with the body, time is truth. Identification with the soul, time is not truth. That's why till the end of this 10th chapter, it's keeping aside time and space, everything was spoken. In this 11th chapter, time and space came in and Arjuna got frightened. Arjuna got frightened because space means Krishna's form. That massive form, universal form, frightened Arjuna considerably. He got frightened seeing that. Oh, it's such a huge form, he said. Whereas Mahabali didn't get frightened. Arjuna got frightened. Similarly, when he saw, under the influence of time, everything is swallowed by Krishna, and so many new things are coming out from Krishna, Arjuna also noticed the impact of the time in there. Isn't it? How time is affecting everything, time and space. So that's why he says here, that now I see this form, I feel peaceful, you come back to the original form. And in this 52nd verse, Krishna is saying here, that the sudurdasham idam rubam drishtavanasi en mama. This form of mine, even demigods wants to see, under the influence of time and space. Kalavrusham, it's called Kalavrusham, isn't it? Viryani tasya akhila dehavajam andarbahi purusha kalarubaihi. Yadashchayo muttimuda amrutam ja maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. Bhagavatam says there that the Viryani tasya akhila lokavajam andarbahi purusha kalarubaihi. In the outside, he is in the form of Purusha Kala Rubai, in the form of time. He is present outside. Inside is immortality. The soul is present. Prayachado mrityu amradamradam cha maya manushyasa vadasa vidvan. Krishna has to be understood only in that way, not in any other way. All other way is incomplete because this is Krishna's direct representation of who is present inside as immortality, the soul. Inside all the time, making us aware of our existence. That is Krishna's direct representation inside us, who is present all the time inside us, all the time telling us, I am here, I am here. That awareness, Ahamasmi, Ahamasmi, that is Krishna's message to us, who is present inside. Outside in the form of time, he is present all the time as Kalapurusha. So, what does Bhagavatam say? Prayachado mrityumrda amrdam cham. Outside, if you take shelter of Kalapurusha, death is waiting, isn't it? That's clear. If you take Krishna as the outside manifestation, what will happen? Prayachado mrityu, mrityu, death is the answer. And inside, if you take shelter, amrutamcha, it is immortality is the result. Immortality. That means, if self-realization happens, it's immortality. Identification with the world or the body outside is death. That is the result. Maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. Maya manushya, that Krishna is playing with this maya in this way, in this world. So saying that, he mentions here that this Kalapurusha's form is never shown to anybody. Kalapurusha is present here all the time because it's working, isn't it? Under the influence of time, we all get wiped out from here. This body gets destroyed. World gets destroyed. Everything is getting destroyed. That is Kalapurusha. Time is doing that, isn't it? Time is doing that already. It's everything is done. But that form of that time personified is not seen by anyone. It's happening, but we don't see the person behind it. So that's why Krishna says to here that only when you are matured enough by Krishna's mercy alone, this form can be seen. So, when one sees this, what is the impact of seeing this universal form? That is another important thing. When one sees that universal form, Krishna is saying here, he will realize that everything in this world is temporary. That is the immediate result. Everything in the world is temporary and everything is misery here. That's all it is. And you will start seriously thinking about your spiritual identity. Spiritual inquiry will begin. That is the benefit of this seeing the Kalavrusha, time personified. Otherwise, we won't think about it. Unless you are frightened about this world, you won't forget about this world, isn't it? You'll be busy with this world, hammering something or the other. We'll keep doing this. That's our nature. Till we get a very bitter taste of this world, we won't give up. We'll still think something can be done here to manage things here. That won't go away easily. That's the nature. So that is why he's saying here, so if we realize, although Krishna mentions that the world is place of misery, although Krishna says that, how much we take that seriously? Even though Krishna says like that to us, anityam, asukham, lokam, all Krishna is saying to us, but we don't take it very seriously about that. Well, Krishna has said something and Krishna is gone, now why we bother? Let me somehow carry on with my life. That's our nature. So that's why he's saying here, if it is Almadatvam, the knowledge of the soul or realization of the soul happens, which will only happen if we lose our interest in the world. Otherwise, it's not possible. We can't have both attention in the world and attention on the soul. In order to move towards the soul, attention in the world has to go. Attention in the body has to go. These are all requirements. That is what is mentioned here. Even the demigods have not seen this, because if they see this form, even demigods will lose their interest in life. That's what Krishna is saying there. That even demigods, he says here, Sudardashamidam Rubam Drashtavanasya Nama Deva Apyasi Rubasya. Even the demigods have not, because if Krishna shows this form to demigods, even they will be shocked by seeing that. So the demigods also they would like to know this. Deva Apyasi Rubasya Nityam Darshana Gangshina. They also want to see this. They are also waiting for that to see, he says. And then the next verse, 53. Naham vedirna tapasa. Nadani nanacejayam. Shakevam vidho drashtam. Drashtavanasimam yatham. Naham vedirna tapasa. Nadani nanacejayam. Shakevam vidho drashtam. Drashtavanasimam yatham. Naham vedirna tapasa. Nadanena na chejjaya. Shake evam vidho drashtam. Drashtavanasimam yatham. Arjuna, Krishna is saying, the form which you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. So, basically Krishna is saying to Arjuna that by studying the Vedam or sacrifices or austerities or charity, it is not possible to see this. Then, how can you see this form? That is the next verse. How you can see that form? That is the next verse. And that's an important verse. Bhaktya tvananvaya shakyam. Aham evam vidho Arjuna. Yadam drashtam cha tatvena praveshtam cha parandavam bhaktya tvananvaya shakya aham evam vidho Arjuna yadam drashtam cha tatvena praveshtam cha parandavam. So, my dear Arjuna, this is an important verse. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way you can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Mysteries of my understanding. So, Krishna is saying, Bhaktiya to ananyaya shakya. First thing, bhakti. What kind of bhakti? Ananyaya shakya. He says here that ananya bhakti, this ananya bhakti is little different than what we normally Everybody likes the word bhakti, isn't it? But everybody says, I am a bhakta or I am a devotee and all that. But when it comes to Bhagavad Gita and some of the terminologies in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying, bhaktiyato ananya shakya Arjuna, that ananya bhakti, through ananya bhakti, you can see this form, he says. Without ananya bhakti, there is no other way. Krishna also says there. Bhaktiyato ananya shakya ahamam idho Arjuna. In that form, jnatum drashtum cha tatvena. That is the principle. Jnatum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parandava. Krishna says here. So, what does this ananya bhakti means? Ananya bhakti means nothing else exists outside Krishna. In that way, a relationship with Krishna. Normally, in our relationship, we are separate from Krishna. Is it not? We are separate from Krishna. We want to keep Krishna separate from us. But Krishna is not very happy about that, when you keep yourself always separate from Him. He is coming and sitting inside us. And we want to separate from Him. Sometimes that is a problem. That's what He is saying here. That means when bhakti is developed without separation from Krishna, in other words, except Krishna, nothing else exists in this creation. That is ananya bhakti. So, that is anvaka. So, one who practices that, in fact, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam principle is like that. Bhagavatam is saying, sarva bhudeshu ya pashyel bhagavad bhavama almana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavado otamam. Isn't it? Everywhere in the Bhagavatam you will see this one particular point stressed. Sarva bhudeshu ya pashyel. Only Krishna is present everywhere. Bhagavad bhavam. That Bhagavad Bhavam, or Krishna's accepting Krishna's presence in everything, that is Bhagavad Bhavam, Sarva Bhudeshu, in all living entities. In other words, when that realization gets very strong, one will see there is only Krishna exists in the creation. This is called Ananya Bhakti. Initially, it is like this, Sarva Bhudeshu, in all living entities, there is only Krishna is present. We may not realize it. In the beginning of spiritual life, in the devotional life, bhakti process also, we are separate, Krishna is separate, isn't it? We go to temple to see Krishna. And after that, there is nowhere else Krishna, he is only in the temple. In the beginning it is like that. And then as we get a deeper understanding from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, we started seeing things in a different perspective. That is what the second stage mentions about, isn't it? The three states of devotion, three stages, both in the Kapilam as well as in the Ekadasham, both mentioned about that. Kapila Vasudeva talks about in terms of Sattvam, Rajas, Tamas. Ekadasha Skandam, King Nimi, Kavi Maharshi and other Navayogindras, they talk about bhakti in three levels, isn't it? Sarvabhudeshu yappashyel bhagavad bhavamalpana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. First class devotees consciousness. What is that? Everywhere there is only Krishna. That is topmost realization. In the middle, when it comes to the Madhyama Adhikari stage, Ishwareshu tadadineshu balisheshu dushalsuja, isn't it? Kripa maitri kripa uveksha, prema maitri kripa uveksha, ekaryodhisa madhyama, he says. Madhyama, middle level. What is that? In relationship with Krishna and the devotees, you have friendship. But karmis and others, we hate them. We kick them. We say, we don't want to do anything with you. You are karmi. Go. Get out from here. That is the middle level. But when you come to the higher level, there is no karmi, there is no devotee. There is only Krishna. That is the best realization. But you have to go through this to get there. That's the difficulty. Even before that, Krishna is only in the temple, nowhere else. I'm going to temple, I'll see Krishna. Krishna, I have a direct relationship. I don't want to know anything from you. You go to hell, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. That is the early stages. So from there, the progress comes on like this. It moves first from the temple to friendship with the devotees. Because initially, everyone comes to temple. Because that's where everything starts, isn't it? You come to the temple, you see the deity, and then you start thinking, temple worship, deity worship is the first thing one gets into. But only after a while, when you start hearing about Krishna, when you start trying to understand the science of Krishna consciousness, you start expanding your understanding. to other people also. Whereas initially, we have the complete conditioned mind inside, which makes us think nothing in this world matters. All what it matters is the deity in the temple. That's how we look at it. So, from there, it's a progress towards this Madhyamadhikari stage. Ishwareshu tadadineshu balisheshu dushal sucha premam maitri kripa upeksha yakkarodi samadhyama. Madhyama level, that is. That you have friendship with the premam maitri kripa upeksha. Four levels we deal with. Ishware tadadineshu balisheshu dushal sucha. With Krishna, it is friendship. Ishware tadine prema, love, love for Krishna. Friendship with the devotees. And those who are ignorant, to them mercy, kripa. And those who are envious, indifference. So these four things are there in a person, in the Madhyama stage. Isn't it? Madhyama stage, these four things will be there. But when you move away from there to still better realization, that there is only Krishna in this creation, there is no karmi, there is no bhakta, everything is Krishna. When that perfection comes, that is that ananya bhakti stage Krishna is talking about. Ananya bhakti, bhaktyato ananya shakya aham evam vidharjuna. So, prakrita bhakti, but it is also bhakti. That means if you are going to the temple, seeing the deity there, that's also bhakti. But that's called prakritam. Prakrita bhakti. Prakrita means very crude form of bhakti. Very crude form of bhakti. So, but if that worship also, worship of the deity is sincere, sincere means there is some genuine desire for spiritual life, he will make the progress in due course of time. Krishna will take that person to ananya bhakti after a long period of time. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam we can hear that Archavigraham. Archavigraham means the deity form, what is worshipped there. And that bhakti takes you to hear Srimad Bhagavatam later. And some meditation starts inside. Then, ultimately that bhakti will take you to the state where you start realizing Krishna's presence everywhere. So, there are different steps in the process of bhakti also. Krishna is talking about here ananya bhakti. So, in ananya bhakti stage, you don't give importance to anything else except Krishna. There is nothing in this world important compared to what is Krishna. So at the same time, everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. So that does not mean that he doesn't work in this world. He stopped everything. No. He may work in this world. He may earn money in this world. But that's all secondary. For living, maintaining this body, he may do many, many things. But he does not think that is important. That is the main thing. Working in this world as the important. So, so for the maintenance of the body, one has to do some things in this world. Sometimes one has to do some things in this world. So, for that purpose, he may have to work. But attachment to Krishna, when it increases, and the mind get more attached to Krishna, even he may lose interest in that work in this world or maintaining the body. Even to that extent, it may turn out to be like that. So, at that stage, he has lost the taste for the world, life in this world, and nothing else exists in this world. So, in a state, when attachment to Krishna becomes so serious, that what will happen is, some of the karma that is in the world outside, it will leave him. In a natural way, it will leave him. He'll lose interest in this world, and all the karma what he is executing in this world, even for the sake of maintaining the body, even that may leave him at that stage. It has happened to many, many people like that. You can see Tukaram's case, same thing happened to Tukaram. Guru Nanak was fine, best example for that. That he was so realized inside that he went to the shop to work. He was doing the work and he was measuring the grains, the wheat and giving it to the customer. While measuring it, his Krishna consciousness was such a level that everything belongs to Krishna. Only Krishna is there. Everything is Krishna's property. That's where he says, he started counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, like that, kept on counting. When it came to Tera, he has completely lost his identity of the number. Rather, he was identifying with Krishna. and saying that Tera, Tera, Tera. He stuck there, called Tera. Tera is the 13. So, we say Tera is a bad number. Tera is not a bad number. It is a number related to self-realization.
Tera is yours.
Yes, it's yours. It's yours, yes. So, it's yours that realization in Guru Nanak was so strong that he couldn't go further than that. Because that is how it is. Realization comes to people and they will get affected by that. So he says like that. The same thing that he started seeing, everything is Krishna's manifestation. Like Ishopanishad says that, isn't it? Ishavasyamidam sarvam yat kinja jagatyam jagat tene tak tena bunjida magrida kasya siddhanam. So what it is is, Jagat, the word used in the Upanishad is Jagat, isn't it? Ishavasamidam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat. So is Jagat, there is no such thing as Jagat in Jagat. Jagat is something that in the Jagat, when we have Ragadvesham, that is when the Jagat is prominent, isn't it? If you take Ragadvesham from this world, Jagat is gone. There is no Jagat. Why do we see world as Jagat? Jagat is because of Ragadvesham. Ragam Dvesham. That means, in this creation, we have attachment and aversion. Or we have recognition of different objects in different ways according to the degree of attachment in us. And that is why it is said Jagat. Because there is, wherever there is Ragadvesham, there is Jagat. You know what I'm saying. Ragadvesham means attachment and aversion. So long as we have attachment somewhere, so long as we have aversion somewhere, Jagat exists. Jagat exists. So, wherever there is Ragadvesham, no matter how much you try to make progress in spiritual life, Krishna is not present there. Cannot be present there. Because, in places where there is no Ragadvesham, even if you don't worship Krishna there, there is Krishna present there. That is the principle. This is why in the second chapter Krishna is stressing that point, that Ragadvesham creates Jagat. Ragadvesham creates Jagat. So Ragadvesham, when it's not there, even if there is no worship, when I say worship, the normal deity worship, even if it's not there, there you can see Krishna is there because Shanti is there. Shanti is Krishna's manifestation. Isn't it? Shanti. Shanti means what? Tataparam Shanti Mubai Disarshal. You remember? In the Kavi Maharshi saying this. Tataparam Shanti Mubai Disarshal. Kavi says this in the Bhagavadam. You may wonder why Bhagavadam is talking about Shanti. It is, many people find that very difficult to understand why Shanti is so important. That's because they have not understood that what Kavi Maharshi is saying here in the second chapter, what he says to him, what he says there is that in the second chapter, isn't it? Yeah. Second chapter. Tataparam Shanti Ubaidi Sakshal, he says there. So let's look at that verse. There are 12 verses discussing Bhagavata Dharma in the Bhagavadam, where Kavi spoke to Nimi. In Ekadasha Skandam, there was only two major topics. Remember that? I mentioned this so many times before. That one is Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, other one is Krishna Uddhava Samvadam. Two conversations, two discussions in other words, Samvadam. First one is Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, Nimi, King Nimi and the nine yogis. And the second one is between Krishna and Uddhava. What was discussed between Nimi and Navayogi is the same thing, but on a much expanded level, Krishna and Uddhava has discussed. In principle, they have if you have understood Nimi Navayogi Samvadam well, then even if you don't read Krishna Uddhava Samvadam, you have got the message properly. But then you have to understand Nimi Navayogi Samvadam very well. That's the difficulty. But because Nimi Navayogi Samvadam is not detailed enough, Krishna spoke to Uddhava in depth, little bit more in depth, but still it is difficult to realize that. So it is in Nimina Vayogi Samvadam, the first thing which was actually a discussion between Navayogis and Nimi, which was arranged by who? Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi spoke that, isn't it? To whom was it spoken? To Vasudeva and Devaki. Who has arranged it? Krishna has arranged that. Because Vasudeva and Devaki did not take spiritual life seriously, keeping Krishna as the sun, not caring to realize the truth, at the last minute, Krishna thought that this cannot go on like this. My parents, because they are so attached to me in this as a son, they are not taking spiritual life seriously. So he decided to send Sri Narada Maharshi to talk to them. And Narada Maharshi went there, and Vasudeva and Devaki for the first time asked some very interesting questions to Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, in answer to that, brought this conversation between Nimi and Navayogi and spoke to them. It is there the first person, Kavi, the nine children of Rishabhadev, the first one Kavi, answers, what is Bhagavata Dharmam? That was the first question. Isn't it? First question was, what is Bhagavata Dharmam? And there are 12 verses in relationship with Bhagavata Dharmam which Nimi has spoken. Those verses are very important. Each of those verses are delivering the message of Krishna consciousness. If somebody asks what is Krishna consciousness, those 12 verses are the best answer. So there, Kavi's answer, question, Kavi, in answer to that, Manye Kudaschil, 33 verse in chapter 2, Manye Kudaschil Bhayamachudasyam, Padam Bujo Basanam Atra Nityam, Uddhigna Buddhe Asadalma Bhavam, Ishwalpana Yatra Nivartade Bhim. Bhagavata Dharmam was brought up for this reason only. He says, Manye Kudaschil Bhayam Achudasya. Everyone in this world is living in fear all the time. All the time people are living in fear. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen at the old age? When will death happen? What will happen to my family? What will happen to my friends? What will happen to this? What will happen to that? Constant fear is following us all the time. Vasishtha Maharshi says like this to Ramachandra. When you are born, death takes birth with you. He stays with you. While you are playing, he is with you. As a child, you are playing, he is with you. When you grow up, you get married, he is with you still, frightening you. When you get old, he is with you. And one day, he takes you and he goes. That's how he puts it in the Yoga Vasishtha. It says like that. So, similarly, so something is there with us, always frightening us. There's no doubt about that. Always fearful about something. So, Manye Kudaschil Bhayam Achudasya Padambujo Vasana Matra Nityam. If one wants to free oneself from this, Kavi says that only thing he can do is Padambujo Vasana Matra Nityam. Understand what is Krishna and come to the understanding of Uddhigna Bhukde Asadalma Bhaval Vishwalpana Yatra Nivarta Dhebi. That bhidi, fear, will only go vishwalpana, when you realize the soul of the whole creation, universe, Krishna. So, there is a list of verses after that, which we have talked about before in our classes. But at the very end, the last verse, Kavi says, Ityachudangrim bhajadonu vrityam, bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodaha. Bhavandivai Bhagavadasya Rajan Tadaparam Shanti Mupaydi Sakshal. Kavi saying to Nimi, Iti Achyudangrim Bhajadonu Vrityam. If you engage in this process of Krishna consciousness, what will happen? Bhaktir Viraktir Bhagavad Prabhodaha. First Bhakti. Simultaneously with Bhakti, Virakti. Bhakti Vairagyam. And what else? Bhagavad Prabhoda. Bhagavad Prabhoda means that knowledge. Jnanam, Vairagyam, Bhakti. Three things will happen at the same time. Then what will happen? Bhavandivai Bhagavad Sirajam. And he becomes a pure devotee in the sense, Tataparam, Shanti Mubaydi Sakshal. He will experience Shanti inside. So, Shanti is the goal. Shanti is the nature of the soul. Shanti is the nature of the soul. Not running around. Shanti is the soul. Shanti is the nature of the soul. That is what is important here. So he says here, Shanti cannot be there where there is Ragam and Dvesham. Ragam and Dvesham. So that is why it is mentioned here. Wherever there is no Raga Dvesham, there will be Shanti. There will be Shanti. So, and there is Krishna is present there. Shanti is there means Krishna is present there. And Krishna is present there. So, this Jagat or this creation, that bhakti which will take you to that state, as though this whole creation is Krishna's manifestations, how will that happen? That was the question. How will that happen? This question is answered in the 7th canto. If you look carefully, you will see there. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question to whom? To Narada Maharshi. And Narada Maharshi answered that in what is known as Advaita Trayam. He talks about three things there. Kriyadvaidam, Bhavadvaidam and Dravyadvaidam. Yes. Dravyadvaidam, Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam. Very elaborately he spoke about that in there. So, what does it mean? It means that this experience of this creation as Krishna's manifestation comes in this way. Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam, Dravyadvaidam. If you look into those verses in the Saptamaskandam, you will see that first thing is this Bhavadvaidam. And of course, in the Bhagavatam, when it is spoken, he says, this is Bhavadvaidam, this is Kriyadvaidam, this is Dravyadvaidam. Like that it is spoken and gone. But what that is not explained there in such a depth. Because Srinarada Maharshi is talking and Yudhishthira is an intelligent person. Yudhishthira was a person like that. So therefore, it didn't require much of an explanation there. But if you look in examples, if you take a piece of cloth, there is thread in that. There is thread in that. But actually, strictly speaking, there is only thread in there, isn't it? So if you combine a lot of threads together, it becomes the dhoti. It becomes the dhoti. Similarly, in this creation, only Krishna is present there. But Krishna is present in the form of male, female, in the form of this mic, in the form of this watch, table, chair, and time, space, everything is Krishna. That is Bhavadvaidam. There is nothing outside this. Whatever that is there in the creation, it's nothing but Krishna. And to see Krishna like that, that is Bhavadvaidam, which is a difficult thing, isn't it, due to our own conditioned state. But Bhavadvaidam is that. That in everything, just like thread is in the dhoti, but if you look into the dhoti, you don't see the thread, you see the dhoti. But without the thread, this dhoti cannot exist. Similarly, in the whole creation, without Krishna, this world has no reality. It cannot exist. The Chaitanyam, or the living force behind everything, which makes the Jadam, the dead matter, and the living entities, which is in this creation, they are all there only due to the presence of that living force there. That is Bhavadvaidam. It is a higher level of realization and it won't happen overnight. It is only for the pure devotees. Then that is one state. And then another one, it is said that, so Kriyadvaidam. Kriyadvaidam is that every karma that is happening in this world, I am not doing it. There is no kartrutvam there. Everything is happening through me. Whatever karma this body is doing, the mind is engaged in, everything is due to Krishna's presence, it's happening. Krishna is doing that, that realization. Everything that's happening through this body, Krishna is doing that. And to be so, without any ownership, without any doership, to do karma in this world is Kriyadvaidam. Is Kriyam. So, if it is like that, whichever state one is in, Narada Muni's point is this, that if you hand over, everything to Krishna. Krishna is doing this through this body. If you are able to stay in that state of consciousness all the time, whether you live in the house or you live in the ashram, it does not matter. It does not matter. Because Krishna mentions there, this last verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarvabhyam akshayishyami mashucha. That Sarvadharman parityajya includes this. This is an important part of that I don't know what people understand by this Sarvadharman parityajya. Different people give different interpretations to that. But from the point of view of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you take that verse, that dharmam means this. That sarva-dharmam, that means in everything what's happening here in this world, if I am a part of that, I have to accept that it is Krishna who is doing this through me. I am helpless about it. I am just a tool in Krishna's hands. Able to work in this world in that consciousness, that is sarva-dharmam parityajya. Otherwise it is not, you are not parityajya anything. Just reciting the verse is no good. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam rajam. Krishna is saying that. So, to come to that state of realization, that I am not responsible for anything what's happening. Everything is happening through me. And that's the same principle in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? When Krishna is saying there, that the kartasmiti nibadhyate, isn't it? That, what's that verse? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimodhatma kartaham iti manyate. That verse is directly that dharmam what is talked about in that verse in the Sarvadharman Paritya. If you follow this verse, which one? Prakrite kriyam, prakriti is doing everything. That is what is happening. Prakriti is doing everything in this creation. We are not doing anything. In ignorance I am thinking I am doing this, I am doing that. That is my ajnanam inside me. But actually, Prakriti is doing everything. If you have come to realize that, that means Sarvadharman Parityajya. Then you have reached that state of Sarvadharman Parityajya. Otherwise, it's not possible. But people say different things. They say, oh, Sarvadharman Parityajya means don't do anything else. Just go to the temple and chant your rounds. That is not enough. That is not making Sarvadharman Parityajya. Sarvadharman Parityajya stage is when you understand that this what Krishna has spoken before in the Bhagavad Gita, which means that prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Prakriti is doing everything. Why? Three modes of material nature is working. Gunai karmani sarvasha. Very categorically, Vedavyasa Maharshi says there. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Gunai karmani sarvasha. Gunam is doing everything. And what happens? Ahangara vimodhatma. Because of my false ego inside, ahangaram, I am thinking I am the doer. That is where everything goes wrong. There are two things, ahangaram and ahambhodam. Ahangaram is the false ego. Ahambhodam is awareness of my existence. I am consciousness of my own, awareness of my own existence. So ahangaram, ahambhodam is two different things. That is why it is mentioned there, ahangara vimudhatma. Ahambhodam, when ahambhodam comes, ahangaram goes from inside. This is how it works. When aham bodham comes, ahankaram goes. Ahankaram, karam is burning. So, karam means actually it burns. So, ahankaram burns, aham bodham don't burn. You see? When aham bodham comes, ahankaram goes away from inside. Krishna is saying there, ahankara vimodhatma. That ahankaram is vimodha, mudatvam, foolishness. Mudatha is coming from there. And when that happens, when ahangaram goes away, ahambhodam comes in, sarvadharman parityajya, it is state. That's the state of sarvadharman parityajya. Otherwise, it is not sarvadharman parityajya. We give another interpretation, makes it very simple. As though, oh, because I have taken initiation, I have joined some institution, I am now free from all, I am pure. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Sarvadharman parityajya is not an easy thing. That is why that verse was kept at the very last. Otherwise he could have said this verse in the beginning and closed the Bhagavad Gita. No. That verse was spoken at the very end. Because to come to that state, you have to go through all this, what was spoken before. So that's what has happened there. So, there are many instances that For realized soul, wherever they are in that state. Ahambhodam, not Ahangaram anymore. So, we can see this. Swami Ramdas, a famous personality who lived like that, he had, he used to go and beg, and whatever he got food, he will eat it and he will satisfied with that. So, in due course of time, many people joined him and they told him, no, we should build an ashram, he said. They all told him like that. He says, okay, build then, if you want to build an ashram. So they built an ashram. Like everywhere else, what you see now, the same thing happens, isn't it? Somebody decides, some few people get together and they decide, we should have an ashram. We should have some center. We should have some place of our own. They start feeling like that very strongly. But most of the advanced self-realized people, they are not into those things. They don't want all these things. It's just a headache for unnecessarily to waste time. And then start fundraising and then start fighting over it. All kinds of problems after that. So normally the thing is that they try to avoid that situation. But Ramdas' case, what happened? Circumstances driven him in that way. A lot of people joined him. He was only satisfied chanting the holy name of Ramchandra and passing his time in this world. He wanted to escape from here. But they won't let him. They joined him. And they said, we should have an ashram. And they opened an ashram. When they open an ashram, the next thing, what do you need? You need money to run the ashram. So what happens then? Then you get caught up in that process. So you started first with spiritual life, ended up in fundraising at the end. So this is the problem with all these things. In spiritual life, this is common. All the time it happens in the history throughout, you can see that. So, so what happened was, at that particular time in Ramdas' time, the cloth industry was building up in India. They got this technology from Manchester or from Bolton somewhere. They got this technology of starting mills everywhere. Prior to that, it was all hand-woven, isn't it? With the hand they did. But so when the cloth mills were open, these ashram people thought that why don't we open a cloth mill? And with the profit, we can run the ashram. See how the mind goes. Somebody gets this intelligent idea that let us do this way. We'll start an industry because good demand for the clothes. It was at that time in India, factories were not there. Cloth mills were not existing. This is long back. And so someone among the followers gave this idea. Ramdas was not interested in any of those things. So they opened a cloth mill. And they opened the cloth mill and one day it caught fire. The whole cloth mill got fire. So Ramdas was very happy. He went there and he started dancing in front of the cloth mill. And everybody says to Ramdas, Ramdas, why are you dancing? He says, that headache is over, he says. It has been giving me so much trouble, this cloth mill. People are keeping accounts, asking amount, how much money is coming. People will always ask questions like that. Where is the money going? How much is, what has been done with the money? This kind of questions are coming. And I had to answer all these questions. And I was pulled into this. And they won't leave me. They won't let me go. He was trying to escape from there. All these things. He didn't want all that. So, so he says to him that, he says, I will never get an opportunity like this again, he says. And dancing in front of the cloth mill which was burning. He says like that. And he calls everyone to come and see the cloth mill burning. He says like that. So then he says to them, look, Krishna is manifested in the form of fire now. He says to them like that. Because why? If you have no attachment there, and if you are not particular that this has to stay or anything, things are coming or going, and if it burns, it does not matter to them. It will not disturb their mind. So Krishna is giving, Krishna is taking it away. That's their mood. So, you can see this particularly in the Srimad Bhagavatam with Mahabali. Have you noticed that? Mahabali's story is so important in the Bhagavatam that there is nobody else who has surrendered like the way Mahabali has surrendered. It's one of the finest way, and that too Mahabali is the head of the demons. Look at that. How he surrendered to Krishna. Vamanamurti. Isn't it? So, everything Krishna is taking away, Shukracharya is standing next to him and telling him, don't let him, don't give anything to him. He is Vishnu. He has come to take away everything. Mahabali says, let him take everything, including me, he says. Take it away from him. So Vindhyavali, his wife, who was standing next to him, so Vindhyavali, whether she got troubled or not, We don't know, because Vrindavali says here, sometimes wives will say to the husband, don't give everything, keep something. Because if you give everything, what is left for us then? They'll say like that, isn't it? So but even Vindhyavali was so Krishna conscious at that time. That is important in the Bhagavatam. Vindhyavali says, after all, it is Krishna who has come. Krishna has come. Is it not his everything? Vindhyavali is saying this just to show that what a level of Krishna consciousness Vindhyavali had. But Vindhyavali had devotees say this. It is not in the Purana mentions like that. That Vindhyavali has come as Putana later in the Bhagavatam. That Krishna, Putana was given that opportunity. Krishna wanted to take Vindhyavali back. But one more lifetime, Vindhyavali was given as Putana and Krishna took her back. So we may think bad about Putana. Mm. Oh, Putana was so bad, this and that. But Putana also is a great, compared to us, she's got back. We are still here. So at least in that sense, Putana has done better than us. Isn't it? For us, still does not clear what's going to happen. At least Putana, we can blame her so much. Oh, Putana is such a bad woman. She was, she has done this, she has done that, killed so many children. You can say so many things about her, but the fact remains that she has got back, from got out of this material world, isn't it? So, so seeing that everything is Krishna, that is Dravyadvaitam. Seeing that everything is Krishna, Krishna's property it is. Like Mahabali saw, like Vindhyavali saw, and many others saw, that seeing like that everything is Krishna's is Dravyadvaitam. So you do three types of Advaitam. Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam. Isn't it? This is an important thing in the Bhagavatam. Why? You should study Saptamaskandam. The seventh canto you will see there. Treem, Swapnan, Dhunute, Muni. It says there. This Treem, Swapnan, Dhunute, Muni. A realized soul goes through this and get over the three states. Which one? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Sushupti. Three states he crosses over. Three in Swapnam. These are Swapnam. All the three states are Swapnam. They are dream states. They are not real. Isn't it? Why they are not real? They are called Avastha. Avastha. Avastha means something that comes and goes. It's called Avastha. In the Bhagavatam, the word used is Avastha Trayam. Avastha Trayam means the three Avastha. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. One who goes beyond these three, the fourth one, which is called Turiyam, it is not an Avastha. That is our real nature. Once you are there, you don't come back from there again. Whereas Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, it comes and goes, isn't it? In 24 hours, you go through these three states. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, waking state, dream state, deep sleep. They are called Avastha because they are not permanent. They come and go, come and go. That is their nature. That's why it's called Avastha. In the Bhagavatam, you can see this. Treen Swapnan Dhunude Muni. Muni, realized soul, he goes beyond these three states. Treen Swapnan Dhunude Muni. He goes beyond than that. Yeah. In the first canto, you will see again, when Parichit story was discussed, that boy, Shamika Rishi's son Shringi, it is mentioned about him that Avastatrayam, he was beyond that, was Shamika Rishi. When Parikshit Maharaj saw, you remember we talked about this before, that when Parikshit Maharaj saw Shringi, how did he see him? If you look into the verse about that, he saw him beyond Avastatrayam, beyond these three states. He saw him like that. Parikshit, when he saw that, he could see that Shamika Rishi was beyond the three states. Beyond the three states. So, Dravyadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam. If you want to know more, you can read the 7th canto. It is there in the 14th or 15th chapter. 14th chapter, I think. So, Dravyam means any material in this world. Dravyam. All materials in this world is Dravyam. Dravyadvaitam means nothing is mine. Dravyam is not mine. Body is not mine. I am not this body. And this body is not meant for my enjoyment. This is all Dravyadvaitam. Body is a dravyam. Mind is a dravyam. Everything is dravyam it is. Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam. Dravyadvaitam includes, not only that everything does not belong to me, including this body is not mine. I am not this body. Body is not mine. and this body is not meant for my enjoyment. That is Dravyadvaitam. That is Dravyadvaitam. All this has to be taken seriously. It's not katha. It's not katha. It is Krishna consciousness philosophy. Philosophy means that this is what is expected from us to understand. Krishna is saying these things seriously. So, when all these three things happens, then the situation is perfect. Then the question will come, is it possible to get all this happen? That will be our first question, isn't it? Is it possible? Krishna is saying here, if it happens, it is the proper state, blissful state. If it doesn't happen, then Krishna's answer is you suffer. There is no choice there. That is the rule, because Shanti is not possible when these three states don't happen. Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam and Kriyadvaitam. In other words, little by little, Ragadvesham, we should take it out from inside. Ragadvesham must go from inside. And it may not be possible, you don't have to take the Ragadvesham from the whole world. At least around you, where Ragadvesham is very strong. For example, while living at home, Ragadvesham is strong among the family members. Ragadvesham is there, isn't it? And it expands into the neighbors and then further and further and further. You don't have much Ragadvesham to people who are living in America or Europe or elsewhere. But you may have Ragadvesham around people around you. Within the family itself, there will be Ragadvesham always. It will always happen. So there itself, if one succeeds in removing ragam, dvesham, ragam means asakti, attachment, or dvesham, hate, or all these things, then if you clear up there, then what Krishna is saying here, then it will bring shanti there. It will bring shanti there. So once that realization comes, it is difficult to bring that into higher levels, because once we get it within us, that is more important. Not to convince others. That this is an important thing. This ragadvesham, not only among the family members, it spreads into the world outside from inside. How does it go? That is called, in Shastram, it's called Loga Vasana. Ragadvesham spills out in the form of Loga Vasana. What is that Loga Vasana means? Loga Vasana means that within the family or close members, you have this asakti or attachment or aversion. In some way, it exists. And accordingly, there will be some ragam, some dvesham. But when it spills out to the world from inside, it turns into Loga Vasana. Loga Vasana means that you start giving feeling that I must have some recognition in this world. And keeping that inside in a subtle level, you start creating contacts in the world to get recognition in the world, running around in the world for recognition. This is called Loga Vasana. It is very prominent. It's not easy to give it up. It will come back in some form and hound you wherever we go. You may say you are spiritual. They'll take then the form of spiritual coverage, something. You'll start going out and you want recognition from the prime minister or party leaders or MPs or these or that. This is all Loga Vasana. From spiritual point of view, they are all dangerous. It's a fact in the sense that it will not help us in spiritual life. This is the simple principle. If we think that MPs and kings and all other these personalities is something to do with our spiritual life, that's the greatest ignorance. And in Shastram, it is addressed as Loga Vasana. Loga Vasana is only this, that I need to be recognized by the world what I am doing. Or I should be accepted in the world, someone like the prominent members in the society. They have to recognize me. And their attitude is like this, that you are all right, I'm all right, but don't trouble me, I won't trouble you. This kind of mood. This is Loga Vasana. That this, all these things called interfaith and all, is nothing but expansion of this Loga Vasana only. If you are convinced about your own Krishna consciousness or spiritual life, you don't go around looking for recognition from others. Or there is nothing much. Their relationship is that you don't interfere in my case, I don't interfere in yours. You are all right, I'm all right. We keep it like that, in that state. But this understanding coming from Loga Vasana, that is also is a big problem. It's a big problem to give it up. So that has to be thrown out from inside Loga Vasana. It's not important. When one is trying to realize the truth inside, what goes on in this world, what does it matter? How does it affect your self-realization? Because the truth is somewhere here where one has to search for the truth. And you are going around in this world looking for recognition, thinking that you have something to give in this world, change in this world. This is all coming from that. I have something to change this world. To change this world, that very thought itself is a loka vasana. That I have to change this world. You don't have to change this world. World will go on its own way. And if you try to change it, what will happen is, the moment you try to change it, you will notice as soon as you pull out, it will go back to its original state, where it's come from. It has to be like that. The reason is that if it doesn't go back, the next generation which comes, what will they do? They have to change the world also, isn't it? So for that, the world has to go back in the same way. That's why it's like that. That one famous sannyasi said this. He said that, I've done all these things, but it was a complete waste of time, he said. At the end, that was his answer. Why did he say that? Because he said that, I've done all these things, and what happened? As soon as I pulled out from there, everything went back to the old state. And he said, the answer is that, it has to be like that, he said, because the next generation who wants to change the world, they must have something to change. So for that we have to leave it like that, he said. So this is called the Loga Vasana. This Loga Vasana is difficult to overcome. It will come in some form and take control of this situation. That's where when we start looking for recognition in the world, we'll say we are preaching, we are doing this, we are doing that. Then you want all these celebrities to come, all the famous personalities must come. What has it got to do with self-realization, all these people? They can't do anything except that you can get a photo with them and put it in your newsletter and tell the world that they have come and visited us, the building. What else do you get from there? By reading that, what do you get? Suppose you read, king has come or queen has come. And so what? What has happened to me? How does it affect my self-realization or spiritual life? But they can't think that, oh, they all must be going there, so that must be something going on there. That's all you can think. But then you know what happens, isn't it? So this kind of vasana, this is called a loga vasana, that has to go from inside, because shanti is more important than all these things. So, so that shanti, when one gets it, one should not lose it. That is, one should not sell that shanti for the benefit of something much silly than that. So shanti is like chindamani. It's a very expensive jewel. And this is like this popularity and fame in this world is like the glass pieces. So you can't sell that for this sarvadobendram. So these things, it is one's own duty to protect one's shanti inside. And that one has to find oneself and do it. Nobody else is going to do it for him. We have to find ourselves what is that state which will help us in our spiritual life. That perfection. So from when we hear Bhagavad Gita, every one of us should take the message seriously. What is Bhagavad Gita's message? And all what we can do in Satsangam is to talk about these things. But how to develop that in one's own life in this world is one's own responsibility. One's own responsibility. So, just like when a flame is burning, at that time, if there is strong wind outside, if the lamp is going to get extinguished, you have to close the window so the wind doesn't come in. So, protecting that lamp and the flame is one's own responsibility, isn't it? When it requires the oil, pouring the oil for the lamp is also one's responsibility. So, This is an important principle. Realized soul will talk like this. Personalities speak in this way. Normally for people who want propaganda and people who have strong logavasana, they will drive you in a different direction. They will tell you about other things. But people who are after self-realization, who wants to understand what is the soul, what is the pure identity of the soul. So, this knowledge should be known. If one has not realized this, what is the value of this life? So, a great personality like this, from a very small level, he has become great jnani, highly realized soul. A village called Shirgari in Tamil Nadu, there was a village Shirgari, and there is a incident what happened there. There's a famous temple also in that place. So, Jnana Sambandar, whom we have talked about before, at a very early age he left his body. At the age of 3 or 4, he had Sri Parvati offered him the knowledge in the form of milk and fed him. From that realization happened to him. At the age of 16, he left his body. So, a famous businessman used to observe him every day. He used to go to this temple and he noticed that a devotee was coming and lighting a camphor in front of him. And then he went inside, lighted a camphor in front of the deity there. And then he came out and lighted another camphor in front of Jnana Sambandar and goes away. Seeing that, this devotee thought that why is he lighting this camphor twice in front of this deity, Jnana Sambandar? And he started taking Jnana Sambandar more seriously than Shiva, who was worshipped inside the temple. He became a devotee of Jnana Sambandar. And it is mentioned like this, that the Jnana Sambandar, that realization what Jnana Sambandar had followed this person in his own life later on. It has happened. So, whatever he did was, whenever he had distress in life, he will go and talk to Jnana Sambandar in the temple at that time. So, Jnana Sambandar became his deity more than Lord Shiva. So, later on, that child grew up and became a famous businessman and a very wealthy businessman, later on selling so many jewels and pearls and everything. But every time he will go and see this Jnana Sambandar deity there and pay his respects to him, because through Jnana Sambandar he got this realization of the soul. But many things he had to do afterwards, but he didn't take all that very, very, very seriously. So, Krishna is saying now here, Bhaktiyatun anyaya shakya aham evam vidharjuna jnadum drashtam cha tattvena praveshtam cha parantava. Krishna says there in that verse, isn't it? So here, what you have to understand is that bhaktiyata ananya shaktya, that ananya bhakti, not being separated from Krishna, that pure devotion bhakti, tatve jnatum, he will be able to understand this. That's what the word jnatum means. Jnatum means bhaktiyata ananya shaktya aham evam vidha arjuna jnatum. Jnatu means he'll be able to know. Then what else he says? Drashtam. Drashtam means he'll be able to see this form. And drashtam cha tattvena, through tattvam praveshtam. And when he has the realization of the tattvam, he can enter into me. Praveshtam cha parantava. In other words, this jnatum, drashtam, tattvena. Three things he mentions there, isn't it? Jnatum, drashtam cha tattvena praveshtam. In other words, if you closely observe that, what exactly does it represent? It is this only, the three different philosophies came. Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Advaitam. Dvaitam is Jnatam. Vishishtadvaitam is Drashtam. Advaitam is Praveshtam. That is the direct explanation of that. Jnatum drashtam cha tattvena praveshtam cha parantava. Jnatum is dvaitam. Drashtam is vishishtadvaitam. Praveshtam is advaitam. So, advaitam is ultimately the merge. Finished with that, everything. Drashtam. So, in the Upanishads you will see, it is spoken in the Mundaka Upanishad, there is a statement about that. What it says there is, Yadanadhyaha, this is Upanishad statement, Mundaka Upanishad. Yadanadhyaha Syandamanaha Samudresam Gachandi Namarube Vihaya Tatha Vidwa Namaruba Namarubadi Muktaha Paralparam Purushamupaidi Divyam. This is the second chapter of the Mundaka Upanishad. It says, Yadanadhyaha, rivers, they flow into the sea. Syandamanaha, they go and merge in the sea. Samudrestvam gachandi namarube vihaya. When they enter into the sea, they lose their identity, isn't it? Their name and their form has gone. Namarube vihaya. Tatha, similarly, vidwan namarubadi vimuktaha. Realized person, he gets freed from his identity as name and form. The name and his form, the bodily identity he loses. Paralparam purusham upaidi divyam. He enters into the Supreme Person. That is that praveshtam. The word praveshtam. Krishna mentions this here, and he also mentions later on in the 18th chapter. 55, if you look, you will see the same thing. Krishna repeats in the same way. Praveshtam. The word praveshtam. What is this praveshtam? Praveshtam is this. That entering into Krishna. Entering, losing that the full realization. You see, bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada tadomam tattvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. There also he says, bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada tadomam tattvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. That one can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotion, service. When one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord, by such devotion he can enter into the kingdom of God. That's the way it's translated. But that praveshtam, what is mentioned here is that. In this 54 verse, in the 11th chapter, where Krishna is saying, bhaktya to anyaya shakya ahamevam vidharjuna nyadum drashtam ja tattvena praveshtam ja parandava. That praveshtam is this verse. Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavanyas chasmitattvada tadomam tatvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. Vishade tadanandaram. That is what that verse is coming from. That connection there. So, what does it mean? When namarupam goes, name and form goes, what is ultimately left behind is the bodham, the awareness, akhanda bodham. Tatvena praveshtam. Tatvena praveshtam means entry through tatvam. Tattvya entry. So, when we execute bhakti, initially it is simple bhakti, isn't it? Simple bhakti. As we know, we execute the bhakti. What we know, we execute the bhakti. But in due course of time, what happens is, little by little through Krishna consciousness process, our concept of bhakti changes, isn't it? Initially, what do? We do what we are told to do. That's what we do. Somebody tells us, look, you chant 16, you get up in the morning at 3 o'clock, we get up in the morning at 3 o'clock. Then he says, you take a bath, we take the bath at 3 o'clock. And then you chant the rounds, 16 rounds. You attend Mangalarati, attend Mangalarati. So beginning, everything is like that. You are told by what is called the mentor, isn't it? That's what they say, the mentor. Yeah, mentor. Yeah, so whichever it is. So, somebody tells you something and you do it. In the beginning it is like that, isn't it? But you are not in the beginning all the time. After a while things change as you grow in spiritually. When you start hearing and you start reflection starts and you start understanding what is bhakti, your concept of bhakti will change. Then it's no more limited to Mangalarati and Guru Puja and 16 rounds. It goes more than that. And that move, what's happening from this very premature, primeval bhakti, when it moves into the proper higher level, that is what Krishna is going to discuss now in the next chapter. That's how Krishna is taking us from here to to the next chapter. Bhaktyatun anyaya shakya ahameva midharjuna jnadum drishtim cha tattvena praveshtim cha parandava. He says, understand this jnadum. First you see this jnadum, know it, bhakti. That is dvaidam. From the drishtim, which is Vishishtadvaidam. Vishishtadvaidam has gone a little bit more closer in that sense. It gets closer to Krishna. Drishtam. Cha tatvena praveshtam. Eventually entering into Krishna and fully realizing the truth. That is that three steps what is spoken there. And it goes like this. That is what Krishna is going to talk about from now onwards. That is why at the very end of this 11th chapter, Krishna brought these words here as an introduction to the 12th chapter. Bhaktyamam abhija bhaktyam tu ananyaya shakya ahamevam vidhorjuna jnadum drashtam cha tatvena praveshtam cha parandava. And if you understand that verse, then you can understand that verse in the 18th chapter. Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tatvada tadomam tatvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. Those two verses are connected each other. That 18th chapter verse and this 11th chapter verse. In this verse, Krishna is saying, Bhaktyatun anyaya shakya. Only through bhakti you will come to that state. Aham evam vidha Arjuna. In this way, what you are seeing me. Jnadam. Knowing that, drashtam. Seeing that, and tatado jnato praveshtam cha parandava. Enter into me at the end. And here, Krishna is going to talk Bhaktyama Vijanadi. Yavan Yaschasmi Tattvada. Who I am, and all these things, how big I am, all these things Krishna is saying you can know through this bhakti. So, example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, gopis didn't know about Krishna, who Krishna is, isn't it? Gopis didn't know anything about Krishna. But they executed bhakti. But they executed bhakti. Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami says about gopis, Asarupanavibhoho. They didn't know about Krishna anything. Who Krishna is? What did gopi know about Krishna? Abalaha. They have no strength. And they didn't approach Krishna with the knowledge of the self. With the knowledge of the self. But when they started developing Krishna consciousness, the knowledge of the self came to them later. That is what has happened to them. If you study Gopiya Gidam, you will see this. How that change has happened in the gopis. When they first approached Krishna, they had no knowledge. Krishna is the absolute truth. Krishna is the soul of everyone. All this knowledge was unknown to the gopis. They were ordinary people who sold milk and butter in Vrindavanam and made a living, and they somehow got attracted to Krishna and the childhood pastimes. They got attracted and started liking Krishna, loving Krishna in that way. Their love developed in such a way that as they made progress, Krishna gave them the knowledge of the self to them, and when it happened to them, and when Krishna left them, they sung a song which is called Gopiya Gidam, which is famous in the Bhagavatam. So there, by now, they have started realizing who Krishna is. Up to that time, they had no knowledge. That's why, if you study that Gopiya Gidam, you will see. Nakalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam andaratma drakka vikhana sartido vishwaguptaye sakamudayuvan satvadam kule. There is a verse there. Gopis are saying this to Krishna. Nakalu gopika nandano bhavan. You are not a son of Yashoda Devi. In other words, how could gopis say like that? Unless there was something that has happened inside. Prior to that, for them, Krishna was Yashoda Devi's son. Isn't it? Darling, baby, is Krishna. For the gopis, it was like that. But now they are saying, no, you're not. You're not Yashoda Devi's son. Makali gopiyan andana bhavan. Then, akhila dehinam andara alma drukka. Akhila dehinam, all living entities, andara alma, the soul inside is you. Gopis are saying this. Gopis who have not studied any Shastram, they are talking like this. How could they speak like that unless Krishna has given that realization to them? That's where it's coming from. So, అకలిదేహి నామందర ఆత్మదృక్ వికనసార్థితో విశ్వగుప్తయే సఖము దైవాన్ సాత్వదాం కులే యు హవ్ అపియర్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ వికనసార్థితో విశ్వగుప్తయే ఫర్ ది ప్రొటెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ టు డిస్ట్రాయ్ ది ఈవిల్ ఫోర్సెస్ అండ్ ఈ మెన్షన్స్ దేర్ దట్ యు ఆర్ అఖిల దేహినాం అందర్ ఆత్మదృక్. సో అఖిల దేహినాం ఇన్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ as the soul andaralma also the sakshi witness of everything, and they came to know about this. How did they come to know about this? How did they come to this? That is Krishna's mercy. So self realization, when it happens, that is Krishna's mercy. That is Krishna's mercy. Knowing what is inside us at the moment, the only signal what we have now is this thing, aham atma gudakesha sarvabhudashyasthita. That's all we know about ourselves, about Krishna. That is the only tangible proof we have about Krishna today. Everything else is, say for example, the deity, the photos, or Bhagavad Gita. These are all not tangible proof, isn't it? But this is a very tangible proof of Krishna's existence. This awareness inside. I am. I am being conscious of everything. That awareness is Krishna. That awareness is Krishna. That knowledge or awareness of our existence and others' existence, which is coming from there. The source from there, everything is coming. Bodham, avabodham, it is called. Isn't it? Avabodham. So, aham bodham, that bodham, awareness, is a tangible proof of Krishna's presence inside. Without Krishna's presence, you don't have that awareness inside. So, here, gopis didn't have any of this understanding. But they are saying here in the Gaudiya Gitam, Akhila Dehinam Andaralmadruk. You are the soul of everybody and you are also the witness of everything. Saying like that. So in order for the gopis to say that, something must have happened in their realization. But that is Krishna's mercy. That's Krishna's mercy. Not by studying Shastram, not by hearing from anyone, simply by that love, bhakti, what has developed towards Krishna, eventually led that to this self-realization in that way. Now, how will you understand this? How did they come to that? That is Krishna's mercy. If you look into the Dhruva Maharaj story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj talks about it very well in the fourth canto. We'll have a look at that. Dhruva Maharaj says there that the if you look into the fourth canto, I think it is in the ninth chapter. Fourth canto, ninth chapter, where Dhruva Maharaj's story begins, isn't it? Dhruva Maharaj's famous prayers. Dhruva went to the forest and he is performing penances there. And at that time, Dhruva Maharaj has been Dhruva Maharaj's recognition of what he is, Maitreya Maharshi is talking about this, that the demigods went away after paying their obeisances to Krishna, and Krishna came to see Dhruva. So there is a famous prayer in the Bhagavatam, what is known as Dhruvastuti, Dhruva's prayers to Krishna. Dhruva was 5 years old. Now, something important. Dhruva and Prahlada, if you look, you will see a little difference. What's the difference? Difference is this. Dhruva achieved this state after performing sadhana. Isn't it? Dhruva performed intense sadhana. You know that. Dhruva went to the forest and Dhruva's famous tapasya, very famous it is, isn't it? When you read that, you wonder whether someone could do like that. That to a 5-year-old boy, standing on one leg, 1 month he stopped drinking water after month, then after a month he stopped eating, then he was only eating the dry leaves, and then he stopped that also, then he stopped breathing, and he performed austerities in that way. Is it not? You know that. That Dhruva's famous 6 months it took for him. It is also sadhana. Just like we are chanting Hare Krishna, Dhruva was doing that, that's all. Dhruva performed intense penances like that. Hiranyakashipu also did similar things, isn't it?
Mm.
But Dhruva performed intense sadhana to get that stage. Prahlada's story you take, where is Prahlada? Has Prahlada done any sadhana? Right in the womb, Narada Maharshi told and said something to him, and he comes out fully self-realized. When he comes out of the womb, there itself, whole realization is with him. That is the difference between Dhruva and Prahlada. Prahlada had no sadhana. Prahlada tells us to do sadhana, but he hasn't done any sadhana himself. Have you noticed that in the Bhagavatam? He's telling us, Shravanam, Girtanam, Vishnor, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Nine processes and all he explains to us. But whereas Prahlada done that in the Bhagavatam, when he comes out from the womb itself, he is realized the truth. He is completely realized when he came out of the womb. So there is a difference between. So what it is showing is, it is not through sadhana you realize the truth. Truth is not for that it's like a business that I can do something and get it. Truth is not like that. This has to be very clear. That it is not due to sadhana that you get the truth. It is by kripa, Krishna's mercy, that you get it. That's the most important thing. Anyway, coming back to this Dhruva story. Dhruva started his famous prayers. Dhruva Vacha. He says, Yonda pravishya mama vacha mimam prasuptam sanjeevayatya gila shakti dharas sudhamna anyamsha hasta charana shravanam togadin pranan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. That is the first verse in the Dhruva's prayers. Dhruva is saying that when he saw Krishna, he didn't say, oh, you look very beautiful, or you look good, nothing. Straight away, he went into the message. What he had to say was, Yonda pravishyam amavajam imam prasuptam. By whose presence inside me, I am able to hear, I am able to talk, I am able to do various things. All these senses are working. That is the first thing to recognize, Krishna's presence inside us. Without recognizing that, there is no meaning. Your anda pravishya, you got inside me, and because of your presence there, mama vaja mimam prasuptam sanjeevayadi agila shaktidhara sodhamna. That because you are present there, mama vaja mimam prasuptam, I am able to speak to you now. If Krishna is not inside, you can't speak. Isn't it? You can't even speak if Krishna is not inside. Akhila shakti dhara sodhamnam anyamscham. What else? Hasta charana shravanam togadin. Hands and legs are moving because of that. And I am able to hear something. Shravanam togadin pranahan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. By whose presence all these five senses of knowledge and senses of action are working, to that person I pay my obeisances, he says. This is how he started the prayer. In other words, recognizing Krishna's presence within him, he started the prayers. He didn't go the other way saying, oh Krishna, you look so great, you look so beautiful. Nothing was mentioned. This is how the beginning of the prayer. But when it goes to after a few verses, he says, Tuduttaya vayinayedam ajashta vishvam supta prabuddha ivanadha prapat pravanna Tasyabavarga sharanam tavapada moolam vismaryade kritavida gathamartha bandho. See the difference. Dhruva is saying, Tuduttaya vainayedam ajashta vishvam. Then, even, you remember, Brahma started his penances. In the tapa, he was told, isn't it? Perform penances, he said. Brahma started his penances, and he could not get an answer. Thousands of years, if you remember in the Bhagavatam, in the beginning, that the lotus flower sprouted from Krishna's navel, and Krishna went and sat there as Brahma. That is who is Brahma is. He went and sat down there as Brahma. So Brahma looked everywhere, couldn't find anyone. Four directions he looked, and they say he got four heads because of that. In four heads directions he looked. Whatever it is, Brahma could not figure out what's going on. He looked down, he saw this lotus stem coming. He traveled through the stem for thousands of years, he couldn't get anywhere. And then he sat down in the lotus flower and started thinking, who I am? Where am I come? Who am I? That first question came to Lord. So that is the first question Brahma has asked, who am I? And that is what is expected from us also by Lord Brahma, to ask the same question, who am I? Without asking that question, finding out what's going on in this world, Brahma has not told us to do that. Brahma didn't tell us go to Mars, go to Moon, or go to other planets and find out what's going on. That's our concoction it is. Brahma did this. First time, Brahma asked this question, who am I? And he couldn't get an answer. That is what it's saying. Toddataya vainayedam ajashta vishwam supta prabuddha ivanadha bhavat prapannaha. He started looking and eventually he realized that he can't find find out who he is. He himself realized that. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know how to find it out. It was at that time he surrendered to Krishna. And he prays Brahma's famous prayers at that time, which you see in the Bhagavadam, that Brahma is saying that I don't know who I am, and praying to Krishna, whoever has brought me into this situation, reveal to me who I am. And that situation that has happened, that knowledge was given to Lord Brahma out of Krishna's mercy. Isn't it? Krishna's mercy, through the mercy of Krishna, Brahma realized that truth. So, supta prabuddha ivanadha bhaval prabannaha bhavat prabannaha. So what did Brahma do at that time? Brahma surrendered. By surrender, supta prabuddha ivanadha bhavat prabannaha, that Brahma became enlightened due to surrender. Tasmat asyabhavarga sharanam dhava padamulam. So even a personality like Brahma has taken shelter of Krishna to get that realization. So, Krismaryade kradavidha katham atabandho. So anyone who is little bit conscious of this incident, how can he forget Krishna's mercy? How can he forget Krishna's mercy? So that is why it is mentioned there that what is Dhruva saying there is, you have to know about Krishna by Krishna's mercy. That is the answer to that. That is the answer to that. You have to know about Krishna by Krishna's mercy, not otherwise. By Krishna's mercy. There is only way to know about Krishna. That is why supta prabuddha iva bhavat prapannaha. That it is by surrender and by mercy alone Dhruva came to know. The knowledge to realize Krishna or the self-realization, Krishna is given to Dhruva and he came to realize this truth. After saying that, so you can see that verse, how important it is. Bhaktyatun anyaya shakya ahameva vidhorjuna yadum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantava. Praveshtum cha parantava. Says like that. Praveshtum cha parantava. So, Dr. Mrs. No. Yeah, we'll have a small break then. And we'll go into the next verse. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhakti atunanyaya shakya aham evam vidharjuna yatam drashtam ja tatvena praveshtam ja parantava. That is the verse you are looking at, isn't it? Bhakti atunanyaya shakya aham evam vidharjuna yadum drishtam ja tatvena praveshtam ja parantava. And then the last verse. Malkarma kada malparamo malbhakta sangavarjidaha nurvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. Malkarma krita malparamo malbhakta sangavarjidaha nurvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamam edi pandava. Malkarma krita malparamo malbhakta sangavarjidaha nurvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamam edi pandava. Translation: my dear Arjuna, one who is engaged in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of previous activities and from mental speculation, who is friendly to every living entity, certainly comes to me. That is the translation, isn't it? Mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhakta sangavarjitaha nirvaira sarva bhuteshu yasamamedi pandava. Now, this last verse, as I said before, and the verse before, the one before that, bhaktyatanenyaya shakya ahameva midorjana. These two verses are the introduction to the 12th chapter. Introduction to the next chapter. Krishna is slowly holding our hand and taking into the next one, to the next chapter. Nirvaira sarabhudeshu. So here, mal karma krita mal parama, Krishna says, important verse. First thing Krishna says, mal karma, mal karma krita mal parama. What does it mean? Mal karma krita. That means all activities for Krishna. Mal karma krita. All karma for Krishna. So, what is the difference? Ignorant person, he does the karma for himself, isn't it? All ignorant people, they do it for themselves. So, in other words, I should get this result. I should have this enjoyment from this. And also thinking about oneself and his extensions. Only me, me, me. That is the principle of the principle of ajnanam. Ajnanam means avidya. Or ignorance is like that. Only me matters. That's only for that purpose. One, mal karma krita. Whereas Krishna is saying, mal karma krita mal parama. Do it for me, he says. Karmam, all karmam for Krishna's sake. There is a how we do everything for ourselves. To illustrate, there is a story about that. There is a famous sannyasi called Tapavana Swamiji. He lived in Hrishikesh. He lived in Hrishikesh long ago. He left his body long time back. So Ganga River was flooded once. When Ganga floods very well there, in Hrishikesh it floods well. Because fresh, the water coming from the Himalayas, everything is very cold and also it floods. And when it floods, there are a lot of monkeys there in that area. Lot of monkeys. They sit on the different branches of the tree and they keep looking the water level rising. They can't go anywhere else because it's rising so fast and everything. So, in Uttarakashi, when he was there at that time, the water started coming. So, he was sitting on and watching this on top of a hill. He was observing things. And he noticed one interesting thing, that on a tree, there was a monkey was sitting. Mother and a baby, they were sitting there. And the river was flooding very fast. You know how the water level rises in the river. So fast it rises. It was rising. So at one particular point, the water level rose very close to them, the mother and the baby. So what did the mother do? She put the baby and she sat on top of the baby. We say that all these relationships in the world is so pure. When it comes to self-preservation, even the mother will do that also. Just to prove the point that that's all what it matters. That's all what it matters. So the mother monkey, what she did was, she put the baby and she sat on top of the baby to protect herself from that. Tapavana Swamiji observed that. Tapavana Swami noticed this, what was happening there. So, so we are also, many people in this world, they also, if it suits them, ultimately they'll do that. If that's what suits them at the end. If that's what has to be done. So, behind what the point is, then that selfishness in us won't go very easily. It's not easy to get rid of that. So, this selfishness is not proper selfishness. This kind of selfishness. Because real selfishness is to look for shanti in life. To look for shanti in life. So shanti, in order to have shanti in life, we have to lose our hate towards others. Otherwise it's not possible. As long as there is ragadvesham inside, dvesham particularly, this will happen. Only then it will happen, and that is what is called real selfishness. Real selfishness says, in becoming freedom from ragam and dvesham, or asakti or attachment and aversion, and developing shanti inside oneself is selfishness. Other selfishness is not selfishness. It is not considered to be proper selfishness. If you have this selfishness, then I must have shanti inside. I must have that. If you have that, you will escape from this mess. In that case, you won't be able to hate anyone. You won't develop any attachment anywhere. You won't insist on anything in this world, and you won't give trouble to anyone. And those things. And that we can see ourselves. It is the nature of shanti. A person in shanti, in the peace state, that is what Bhagavatam is talking about, that word shanti. Isn't it? Shanti is such an important word in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In Bhagavad Gita, how does it say? Bhagavad Gita, it says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata El Prasadal Param Shandim. The supreme shanti, sthanam, that place, Prapsasi Shashwatam. Krishna says there, isn't it? That too in the very end of Bhagavad Gita. Earlier, Krishna says that, what does he say about shanti? Ashandasya kuta sukham. He says, if you don't have shanti, what kind of happiness can you have? Krishna is asking that question. Is it not? Ashandasya kuta sukham. And in another place, Krishna is saying that, you remember? Bhoktaram yajnyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram sukhrutam sarvabhudanam yatvamam shanti mruchyati. So, why Krishna give importance to shanti? You have to ask that question. Isn't it? We think shanti is a simple thing. All Upanishad mantram you will see, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, finishes like that. Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Let shanti come, he keeps insisting on shanti. Shanti's importance is this, shanti is Krishna. Shanti is Anandam, shanti is the soul, the Brahman nature of the soul. So because it is like that, then very nature of shanti, if you desire to have shanti, that is the proper selfishness. The other selfishness is based on the body. Based on the body. So, if you insist on things, shanti cannot happen in this world. It is not possible. For example, when you see some object in this world, or when you see some personality in this world, anywhere, if any attachment develops in a very subtle level, sushma, in a very subtle level, if any attachment develops, shanti will go. Shanti you can lose very easily. Some people have got name shanti, you know. And they are the most ashanti in the world. When you see them, how disturbed they are, and the name they got shanti, and sometimes you think the person who was given the name got it wrong. The person has a name shanti, but it's the most ashanti inside. So shanti is something that even in a very, as much as there is raga dvesham, ragam and dvesham, in very subtle level, very sushma level, some attachment develops or hate develops anywhere, shanti will go. Shanti is gone there. So, so similarly, if I develop any hate towards anyone, shanti is gone. Not only that, for the sake of fame and name and fame in this world, or if you desire something like that, your shanti is gone. Your shanti has gone. Everything will go. So, unless you have very close monitoring of this mind, if it is developing attachment for anything in this world, for anything, if you develop any attachment anywhere, for anything, shanti has gone. Shanti has gone there. So, but this, if shanti, if that selfishness is inside, it will protect us. It will protect us. So, keeping that shanti inside, you can get rid of the ashanti from ashanti what is coming. This is the yoga sadhana. It is a yoga sadhana. For example, suppose you do chanting, meditation, yoga asanas, pranayamam, all these things. If all these things is not suiting you, if you cannot do it, this one principle if you have in life, that I will not develop Ashanta state inside me, if you take that itself, that it will help you, help anyone in the spiritual life quite a long way. So even if you have to work whole day and night, because people get caught up in all sorts of situations in life, isn't it? Working life, sometimes it's demanding, very demanding. But if you have this selfishness inside, that I need Shanti inside, complete Shanti inside, and that will lead us a long way in spiritual life also. In fact, the completion, perfection of life is in Shanti. Perfection of life is in Shanti. So whatever you are creating, it's a situation where you have to lose that Shanti, you have to know where to leave it also. You have to know where to leave it. Not externally. Externally you can't give up anything. But inside if you leave it, Shanti will come. Inside if you leave it, Shanti will come. For example, children, wife, husband, and whatever it may be, whichever is going to cause distraction or whichever is going to upset the Shanti inside, we have to learn how to leave it inside. How to leave it inside. Because that is what happens to all of us, isn't it? Somewhere there is some connections. You know, in Upanishad's philosophy, all knowledge is centered subjective. It's not objective. So it is all subjective. It is in us that has to happen, not in the object. In the material world, the knowledge is centered around the object, isn't it? We make corrections and changes in the object. In spiritual life, it is subjective and not objective. Object is not important. Whatever the object be, let it be like that. We don't have to change the object. It's a subject that has to change. That's why it is subjective. That's why it is subjective. So similarly, here also, in the family life, husband, wife, children, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, so many things in relationships, so many things can happen. And sometimes you will notice that wherever you have developed some strong attachment or somewhere you have put a lot of faith that this relationship is going to last for long or this relationship is very important for me or this relationship is my valuable thing in life, I'm not going to upset this, it will bite you there. If you are sensible on this, you won't have to cry tomorrow. Otherwise, if you take notice of this, you won't suffer. That's the point Krishna is making, that that relationship which you think is important for you and which you have put a lot of faith in, that that very thing will bite you tomorrow. And that's the way material nature works in this world. That is why Krishna is saying, pull out, pull out, pull out from everywhere. Don't develop connections, don't develop attachment anywhere. That does not mean that you have to become cruel to others. That's not what it means. Inside, that connection must be broken. Inside, the connection must be broken. So,
so how do you break that?
Wait a minute. So, so what is happening here is that all these things, one has to know that everything is going to create distress for you tomorrow, one way or the other. If you have understood that it is going to bring problem to me later, then you can break the connection today. But you have to be conscious of that. This connection is going to bring me distress tomorrow. Any relationship is like that in this world, isn't it? Sometimes you can see people, they get into serious problems because of that. The so strong attachment they develop between husband and wife, or young people when they get married, they think they're on the top of the world and it's going to be like this forever. And all kinds of foolish ideas gets into their head. And they start developing a relationship. They can't live without seeing each other. They have to be together. All everything they do together. They go shopping together. They do everything together. And it develops like that, kind of attachment in that way. Because one day, when that attachment gets to its peak, Krishna will hit you there. When you get hit, then you cry. And Krishna is saying, no point in crying then, because already you have made the big mistake. That is, everything, by nature's arrangement, it is like that. That all relationships in this world must end one day. Must end one day. Because you know that in astrology also, they tell you so many things. In astrologers tell you, oh, it will be like this, it will be like that. So many things. But nobody can tell you about these relationships, how it will turn out at the end. So, the reason for that is that quite often when this attachment develops is that we also desire that they also do things the way we want them to do. Mm-hmm. This is the next thing. This is the next thing. It is because of that strong asakti or attachment that is developed inside. But you know very well, you can't bring anyone in the way you want them to do things. Because each one of them have come to this world with their prarabdham. Isn't it? They have come to this world with their prarabdham. You can think yourself, so take about, for example, our own parents. Our own parents, you take for example, and how much we listen to everything what the parents say. In many cases, there are instances where relationships are completely broken down with the parents. Isn't it? With the parents. We may sometimes say, oh, I have done everything for my parents and all that. But if you analyze, scrutinize it very carefully, you will notice that there are instances where you couldn't do it or you couldn't agree with it also. So, if you carefully look at it, you can see you are not surrendering to anything. Actually, what is happening is you are functioning according to your vasana inside. That is what is actually dictating your behavior. You are thinking that I have tried to do everything what the father said or mother said. But actually it is not. You are acting based on your vasana, you are doing it. What you are doing is based on the vasana. Not only with father, mother, even with wife and children also. According to the vasana you are acting. Nothing else. That vasana that is inside, this vasana means this, you know, the impressions what you have, propensity what you have. So, in that situation, that everything is going, even if you are agreeing with them something and doing something for their satisfaction, even that is happening according to your vasana. According to your vasana. Then, if it is like that, why should we expect something from them? So, let people live according to their freedom. According to their freedom. So, if you say like that and if you leave it, you will have some peace in this life. But instead of leaving that, if you start insisting, it should happen my way, and that's the only way I will accept it, then you will have Shandi will go. So, that Shandi, what Krishna is talking about, different things may cause Shandi in different ways. Because for everybody it may not be the same thing. So we have to know what exactly is causing Ashandi inside for each one of us. It is different for different people. For some people it could be a dealing in the office that's causing disturbance. For some people it could be family members that's causing disturbance in their mind, causing Ashandi inside. So one has to know what is the object that is causing him the disturbance, and if you give up that Ashandi from there, then Shanti will come. That is why yoga sadhana, all the yoga processes, jnana yogam, bhakti yogam, Krishna talked about all that before. But Krishna also said, mal karma krita mal parama. Mal karma krita mal parama. Krishna uses the word there. Isn't it? Mal karma krita mal parama. What purpose one is executing karma? Krishna says, not for gaining anything. But then, what purpose one execute karma? For self-realization, Krishna is saying. Mal karma krita mal parama. For my sake. In other words, what does that mean? For self-realization. Mal karma. Mat means here, Krishna refers to realization of the soul. That is that mat. Mal karma krita mal parama. Mal bhakta sangha varjidaha. So, karma is for self-realization. Or, in devotee's language, bhagavad sashalkaram. Realizing Krishna. That is devotee's language. Jnani's language, realizing the soul. Realizing the soul. So, all karma vasana, karma is in everybody, isn't it? Everybody has vasana to do karma. And that has to go. And it is for that purpose we are engaged in karma. To get rid of the karma vasana from inside. Not otherwise, to do karma to get something. That principle must change. Which has spoken in the karma yogam before. Same thing is coming back in another form Krishna is saying here. Mal karma kada mal parama. In other words, you have to execute karma for the sake of self-realization. Krishna is saying like that. Or to get back to Krishna. So karma vasana, in order to get rid of karma vasana, karma should be executed. In other words, for Krishna's sake, karma. So every time action is performed, it is performed keeping Krishna inside. Keeping Krishna inside. Malparaha. That's the word malpara. Malpara means what? Mal karma krita malparamo. Mal bhakta sangha varjitaha. So, in other words, Krishna wants us to take this message so seriously. He says, the whole purpose of life is self-realization. Ultimate goal of life is self-realization. That means complete shanti inside. Krishna mentions in the second chapter, if you look, you will see there, at one point Krishna says, you should leave this body in shanti. In shanti you should leave this body. Not with all desires and all kinds of distresses inside, one should not leave the body. You should leave in shanti, he says, at that point. So, that is, Krishna calls it as self-realization, that shanti inside. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, after discussing about different sadhana process for bhakti, he also mentions there, Kavi Maharshi we saw, Tataparam Shanti Mupaiti Sakshat. So, that seeing, experiencing that shanti is seeing Krishna. We think seeing Krishna means seeing Krishna as a person somewhere. And somewhere we say, somebody has seen Krishna. No, there are many great personalities who had seen Krishna as a person, but then they realized later that shanti inside is actual proper realization of Krishna. Otherwise, people will say, suppose he is a Vaishnava, they will say seeing Krishna. If he is a devotee of Lord Shiva, he will say seeing Shiva is the perfection. But none of them is as perfect as the shanti inside. So making this decision inside, that I need that shanti inside, and intelligently one should make that decision inside. And that is what that matparaha. Mal karma krita mal paramo. Shanti is the goal of life, and Krishna is saying like that, mal bhakta, mal karma krita mal paramo, mal bhaktaha, become my devotee. Krishna says, become my devotee. So, mal bhaktaha, bhakti is nothing but premam, isn't it? Premam is the feeling or vigaram, or emotion related with that. So, any emotions, what we develop in life, if in relationship with Krishna, it should be directed towards Krishna. Any emotions, what we develop in life, if it is directed towards Krishna, that even suppose in some instances, so some emotions are very strong, isn't it? Sometimes some emotions are very strong. If it is directed towards someone, to direct it towards Krishna means to change that personality, taking that Krishna is present there in that person. That is how you direct it towards Krishna. Any emotions that is coming inside, doesn't matter what it is, lust, anger, greed, or various things, isn't it? Envy, jealousy, or pride. All these things, any kind of emotions, when it comes inside, Krishna says, if you can direct it towards me, when you say direct it towards me, what it means is that suppose you develop an anger towards someone, and that anger, if you feel that that person, Krishna is present there in that person, that anger what you have felt towards him, Krishna says it's not anger anymore, it is bhakti. Why? Because you have recognized my presence in that person. Immediately it has changed its color. It's not anger anymore, it is bhakti. Suppose you have hated someone, then if you have thought that that person is Krishna is present inside, your hate what was there inside, it has become bhakti. This is what has happened in the Bhagavatam. If you remember, Gopya Kamad Bhayat Kamsa Deshya Chaidyadayo Nrupam Sambando Vrishnaya Snehat Yuyam Bhaktyavayam Vibho. All of them, all these great devotees in the Bhagavadam, they did not have the pure bhakti what we are talking about. Gopya Kamad, gopis came to Krishna with kamam, with lust, isn't it? Their relationship with Krishna was like that. They didn't know. They were not worshipping Krishna like a deity or seeing him as the absolute truth or supreme personality of Godhead. They were happy to have Krishna's company. They enjoyed Krishna's association and they played with him, enjoyed with him in every way possible. Gopya Kamad. Bhayal Kamsa. Kamsa had fear for his life. Bhayam, fear all the time. But fear for whom? It developed, turned into Krishna. Krishna was the cause of the fear. Because his fear was directed towards Krishna, Kamsa's fear was directed towards Krishna, it became bhakti. It became bhakti. Therefore, he left this material world. Krishna sent him back to the spiritual world. So, that is the principle of Srimad Bhagavatam. Any emotions, whatever we may have towards others, doesn't matter who it is, and what kind of emotion it is, if that emotion is directed towards Krishna, by accepting that the object is nothing but Krishna is present there, if you accept that, that has to happen inside. Only then it will, then that emotion has become bhakti. That emotion has become bhakti. So if you do that, what will happen? If you take it that way, suppose you have very intense hate towards someone, you're asking that question, how do we do that? Ragadvesham, isn't it? How to wipe it out? There is no shortcut in this. The only shortcut is wherever we sense that there is trouble, wherever you feel that you have developed some hate, or even if the slightest distress or slightest anger develops towards someone, at that point you have to yourself, one has to oneself, make sure that it is Krishna who is present in that body, and wipe out that hate or wipe out that ragam or dvesham from inside. That is left to us to do it. There is no shortcut in there. There is no shortcut there. There is nothing you can do about it. Because in the very first instance, this ragadvesham has developed. We can't have ragadvesham inside and go back to Krishna. That's not possible. That's not possible. Krishna is not going to accept that. So that's why it is so important in the first instance not to allow anybody to get in first. That's the first precaution. Not to allow anybody to get in. If you find that somebody is coming and getting inside you and is causing trouble, then you have to learn how to withdraw from that situation. But if he does get in, then the next thing is how to get rid of him from inside. So that is what Krishna is saying here. That that means without bhakti you can't escape from here. There is no other way. This is called bhakti. This is called bhakti. Bhakti means Hari Sarvesha Bhudeshu Bhagavan Atma Ishwara. You know that verse? It is in the Hari Sarvesha Bhudeshu Bhagavan Atma Ishwara. Hari, this is Harimarshi saying there in the Navayogi Samvadam. In the Navayogi Samvadam, Harimarshi says. So Hari is present. That is how you have to get rid of that emotion from inside. That hate or sometimes it can be good, sometimes it can be bad. Both are bad. Both are bad. That is the first thing. Suppose you develop attachment somewhere and if that person gets inside, it's trouble. Suppose you hate someone and that person gets inside, that's also trouble. Krishna says neither should happen. Either ragam or dvesham, both are trouble, both should be kept out. So that is why he said, mal karma gada mal paramo mal bhaktaham. Krishna says, if you start accepting people, how Hari sarveshu bhudeshu, Hari is present in everyone's heart, and if you start respecting people in that way, you may not have to go very far to find the shanti. Shanti will come in a natural way. And Krishna says, best thing is mal bhaktaha. Mal bhakta sangavarjidaha. Sangavarjidam. That means, so if you associate with devotees, mal bhaktaha, Krishna's devotees, if you associate with them, What will happen is Sangavarjita. You lose your attachment and aversion from others. That is the process. Through Malkarmaha, Malkarmakrita Malparamo, Malbhaktaha, Sangavarjidaha. Through Sangavarjidaha. Sangavarjita means, Sangam means what? This Ragadvesham is the Sangam. Isn't it? Sangavarjidaha. So, Sangam, Sangam means that you have, remember we discussed this. Dhyayado Vishaya Pumsan Sangasteshu Vajayade. From Dhyanam, Sangam comes. Sangam means what? An attachment somewhere to somebody or to some object. This is attachment. This attachment, if attachment is there, it means Ragadvesham is there. That is the proof. Yeah. So, if it is there, Krishna says to come out of it, Mal Bhaktaha, become a devotee and associate with devotees. If you do that, it says here, a fruit which is fully ripened, it won't ask the tree, can I go now? The fruit won't ask the tree whether it can go. So it will fall, it will drop when it's ripe, isn't it? It will drop. Similarly, inside if this knowledge become very firm, firmly rooted inside, this thing called mind inside, this subtle body which is full of vasana, it will become empty. The mind will become empty and ultimately it will disappear. And that is the perfection of the Krishna consciousness. That the mind inside, which is carrying all the vasanas, they have to go. And when this ragadvesham goes away, and by practicing the association of the devotees, hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it will enter inside and it will start the work inside. And you will see in your dealings and relationship with the world, everything becomes in a balanced state. That means there is no ragam, there is no dvesham. In that way, you'll be able to live in this world. There are many, many great devotees. They lived like this in this world. Practically, they have shown to us. No ragam anywhere, no dvesham anywhere. People may have insulted them, spoken very rude to them, but they did not allow that to disturb their mind. They did not allow that to get inside. So once that happens, Krishna is saying here that ultimately that vasanamayam, means that mind which is inside, which is full of vasana, it will start deterioration, will begin inside and it will go. At the moment, whichever way the mind calls, we go behind that, isn't it? Whichever way the mind calls, we go behind that. So that mind, which has got all the vasanas inside, that will disappear from inside. But mind will still be there, but but you can see there that you will know what it is, that these powerful forces of different ragam and dvesham or vasanas inside, it will not give you any trouble at that stage. That is what Krishna is saying, that Sangavarjidaha. The word Sangavarjidam in that verse is referring to that. Mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhaktaha Sangavarjidaha. Sangam will go. It must happen. Sangavarjita must happen. Sangam must go. There is no way otherwise. You can't have Sangam towards the world and Sangam towards Krishna. That's not possible. You can have only Sangam towards Krishna. Because world is asat, body is asat, mind is asat, Krishna is the only sat. So attachment to Krishna is sat. Attachment to asat is Sangam. That's why he says, Sangavarjita aham. So, and what is the greatest qualification of that devotee, such a devotee? Nirvaira sarvabhudeshu. He has no enemy in this world. He has no enemy in this world. So, no enmity towards anyone here. No enmity towards anyone here. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, the same thing what Krishna has told Arjuna here, is an amazing verse in the Bhagavatam when Krishna brings that back again into while talking to Uddhava. Nirapeksham munim shandam narvairam samadarshinam anubrajamyaham nityam puyaye tyangri renubhi. Krishna says that is the position what he likes a devotee to be. What is that? Nirapeksham munim shandam. No desires, absolutely nothing inside. Even if you have the slightest desire for anything, means you have to come back again. That is why, niravaksham, no desire at all. Munim, shandam, shandi is the, he is complete, always in shandi. Niravaksham, munim, shandam, then nirvairam, no enemy anywhere. No ill feelings towards anything, to anybody in this world. Krishna is saying, nirabeksham munim shandam nurvairam. Only in that state, samadarshinam, seeing everywhere, on a Krishna's position everywhere. Anuvrajamyaham nityam, I follow them, Krishna is saying. Puyaye tyangri renubhi, I take the dust from their feet. So you can see how much Krishna value a devotee who is in that state. He, Krishna calls him as a devotee. Krishna calls him as a devotee. Why Krishna mentioned all these things here is the very next chapter is about who is a devotee. That's the next chapter. So prior to talking about an introduction to the next chapter, Krishna doesn't want to talk about a devotee who considers himself as a devotee. But Krishna wants to talk about a devotee whom Krishna considers as a devotee. There's a big difference there, isn't it? There's a big difference there. We all consider we are devotees. Whether Krishna considers we are devotees or not, we don't know. Do we? Only Krishna can tell us whether he considers us devotees or not. But Krishna is saying, I'll talk to you about those whom I consider as devotee, which is a big difference. Actually, the devotee or not, that recognition has to come from Krishna, not from our side. Not that somebody else tells me he's a devotee. It doesn't mean anything to us, is it? It doesn't mean anything. We can all say each other, he's a senior devotee, he's a junior devotee, he's a... all these kind of things, what we call normally. But that all doesn't mean anything. In Krishna's eyes, who is a devotee? That's what Krishna is going to talk about. And that is important. And that is what we want to hear. We don't want to hear whether somebody else is saying whether he's a devotee or not. What does Krishna consider who is a devotee? That's more important. And that is why the whole of next chapter is about Krishna's devotee. Krishna's understanding of a devotee. And that, you will see, is a lot different than what we thought as devotee is. That's where the problem comes. That that Krishna is going to say like that, that that niravaksham munim shandam nurvairam samadarshinam anuvrajamyaham nityam puyaye tyangri renubhim. So that is why great personalities, Tirumular says about this, he says, whatever desires you have, get rid of that from inside. It doesn't matter what desire, even to realize Krishna, give up that desire also, he says. So troublesome is this desire inside. Desire is the electricity inside, which is working. It's just like the electricity the subtle body. The electricity is the desire. That's what pulls this subtle body keep going. Mind is the thing what is operating, isn't it? How does the mind operate? Because of the desires inside. It's the desires that is what is causing all the problems. So once all desires is gone from inside, what is left there inside then? That is Krishna. That is Krishna. That is what he is saying here. Niravaksham munim shandam nurvairam samadarshinam anuvrajamyaham nityam puyaye tyangri renubhi. Nurvairam. So Krishna says here that malkarmakritam alparamo malbhakta sangavarjidaha nurvaira sarvabhudeshu sarvaira samamedi pandava samadarshanam. That means in all living entities only seeing the soul. If there is a person like that, Krishna says, Uddhava, I'll go after him. Why does Krishna go after him? Because Krishna says, while being in this world, while doing so many things in this world, even if some impurities have got inside me, let that be cleaned up. That's how Krishna puts it. Even if some impurities have got in inside me by acting in this world, if some impurities have got in, let that be cleared up by the association of that devotee. Krishna says, such a devotee I'll form. So, Krishna cannot say anything after that, isn't it? He has spoken the final word on that. He's not saying here, there's a difference here. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yogakshemam Vahamyaham, he says there, isn't it? So, so try to understand this. In Srimad Bhagavatam he says, I will follow them, a devotee who is in that state. But a devotee who has ananyaschindeyamam ejanam pariyupasade tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyaham. There Krishna is saying, I'll make sure that his yogam and kshemam, I'll look, take care of that. He's saying that. I'll make sure that he is taken care. That's what he is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam he is saying, it is not like, it's more than that, a step further, saying that, niravetsham unim shandam, such a person, if he has reached, realized a person who is in that state, for him, I will go after him. I'll go after him to get myself purified. So, nirvairaha, because he has no hate towards anyone. And this is the reason why Yudhishthira was given the name Ajatashatru. Have you heard this word for Yudhishthira? Yudhishthira has a famous name, Ajatashatru. Ajatashatru means he has no enemy. Just see that. And that is the reason why Yudhishthira was given the name Ajatashatru. Apparently Yudhishthira cannot think of anyone as his enemy. He cannot think anyone as his enemy. So even if somebody consider Yudhishthira as his enemy, Yudhishthira cannot think of him as his enemy. So, nirvaira samadarshina, samabhudesha nirvairaha. So, yasamamedi, all these qualities, there isn't someone, samamedi pandava, Arjuna, what else is there? if a person thinks like that, Krishna is saying that he is mine, you are in me, I am in him. So, so this state, yasamamedi pandava, and that is that state in the last verse Krishna discussed. Remember? Bhaktya tanenniya shakya ahamevam vidorjana nyadum drishtinja tatvena praveshtinja parandava. That praveshtum is that what he is talking about here. Mal karma krata mara pramo mal bhakta sangavarjita nurveira sarvabhudeshu yasa mameti. Mameti is that. Mameti is that praveshtum. What praveshtum in the last verse, what Krishna has spoken, is the same thing Krishna is mentioning. He says, mameti, he is mine, I am his. In other words, there is no difference between them. It is no difference between Krishna and that devotee. There is no practically any difference. So, so here, there, that separation has gone between Krishna and the devotee. Krishna is not thinking of him, he is my devotee anymore. Krishna is saying he is as good as me, he is no different from me. That is that mameti means. Mal karma kratam alparamo mal bhakta sangavarjita nurvaira sarvabhudeshu yasa mameti pandava. He has become like me, I am him, he is me. In that state has come. So in other words, Krishna and the devotee, that difference is gone, which has come in the previous verses, praveshtam, he mentioned there, isn't it? That state, that's what is referred to there. So, although this is a very, very higher state, only highly realized soul or very pure devotees, the process is simple. In other words, even if you cannot go reach that state through vijaram or through thoughts or for realization, so, continuously chanting the holy name will take us to that state. It is possible to come to that state. Because analyzing the mind, if one develops this chanting process, what will happen is that only through chanting alone, one can get Krishna. One can get the, come to that state. So, through, but that chanting has to be perfect. It has to be done in the most way. Because it is like a net that you tie around Krishna. Like a net. This chanting the holy name. And it is not bound by any time, place or circumstances. While whether cooking in the kitchen or engaged in any other activity, chanting is still possible. So that chanting process is Krishna is talking about. That not to see that Krishna is only in the temple, but Krishna's presence recognizing everywhere. So, and not to hate anyone or to love anybody or to quarrel with anyone, But at the same time, Krishna is saying here that the chanting process has to be performed in that state. Like Mahaprabhu also said, Trinaravi Shuninjana Taroravi Saheshnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So if it is chanted in that state, the chanting can take anyone to that state. That is the principle. Shanti will come. And Ragadvesham, in the other hand, if you chant the holy name, and if you keep allowing all these things to grow inside, Ragam and Dvesham, and envy and other things, our chanting will create problem for us later. Because simultaneously with chanting, Ragadvesham must also go from inside, and Shanti must come inside. And only in that state, Krishna says, I will follow that devotee. So, you can see this Pandavas, Krishna went with them all the time, isn't it? All the time, Krishna was with the Pandavas. Why is the reason? Yudhishthira had this quality. It's because of Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira's quality like this. So, wherever these qualities you find, so wherever these symptoms you find anywhere, that Krishna says, I'll go with them. That is why, if you look into, in the 10th canto, when Lord Brahma came and started glorifying Krishna in the womb of the mother, Devaki Devi, in the prison, the famous Garbhastuti is there. If you study that Garbhastuti, there's a beginning, there is a verse there, Satyavradam Satyavaram Trisatyam Satyasya Satyam Nihidanja Satye Satyas Satyam Kradasatya Netram Satya Almadam Tuam Sharanam Pravanaha. Brahma is approaching Krishna like this. That Brahma's glorification is that Krishna's name is Satyam. Krishna's name is Satyam. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam many great devotees say that Satyam Param Dhimahi begins. You could have even substituted that word Satyam by Krishna. Krishnam Bharam Dhimahi. It would have properly fitted. Similarly, at the end of Bhagavatam also, you will find the word Satyam Bharam Dhimahi. Isn't it? Kasmayena Vipasidoyamadalo Jnana Pradiva Puran Tudruvena Naradayamane Krishnaya Tudruvina Yogindraya Tadatmanada Bhagavadradaya Kalvina Tachrudham Vimalam Vishovakam Amrtham Satyam Bharam Dhimahi. That Satyam Bharam Dhimahi also not different from Krishna Bharam Dhimahi. So Satyam is another word for Krishna. So between this first Satyam Bharam Dhimahi in the first verse, second verse, and the Satyam Bharam Dhimahi in the last, it is in middle of all this Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but meditation on the Satyam. Meditation on the Satyam. So, it is that Satyam Bharam Dhimahi, that Satyam addressing as Krishna, that is with that we are moving into the 12th chapter. 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So, you can see, we have now discussed this 11th chapter for many months. And we have not gone through each and every verse seriously. Many verses are not important in the sense that message from what is this 11th chapter was spoken for. What was the state of Arjuna at that time when 11th chapter was spoken? What did Arjuna understand after seeing that universal form? And through that universal form, what is the message for us? These are the important things to take note of. And through this 11th chapter, we have also understood another important thing. Krishna, who started the first thing with the process of bhakti, and he came to the important point, mentions there that aham alma gudagesha sarvabhudashi astida aham adyanja madhyanja bhudanam andam evacha. That verse where Krishna mentions that important thing is, Arjuna, it's my presence in every living entity. Recognize that as the greatest opulence of Krishna. It is after that opulence when Krishna understood that Arjuna requires a direct experience, that is when this universal form was shown. Arjuna got the experience of the universal form. And while experiencing this universal form, Arjuna realized it, who he is, what his relationship with Krishna is, and who is Krishna. Arjuna got a taste of it. It was what they call as a taster session. Isn't it? It's a taster session. So it was a taster session for Arjuna. So Arjuna got the taste now, and now after seeing Arjuna's mood, Arjuna realized that this Krishna, whom I was talking about as my friend, as my whatever he addressed him as, hey Krishna, hey Yadav, hey Sagedi, he says like that, and told him, you drive my chariot. He started thinking all these things and started realizing, sometimes we also do the same thing. We have done something seriously wrong and later on realized that what we did was some very big blunder. Then what do? You want to escape from that somehow. Isn't it? So similarly, Arjuna is now trying to escape from that situation. And Krishna is trying to tell Arjuna, if you have seen me now, let me talk to you how you can realize this form, if you want to do that. So therefore, he wanted to talk about bhakti. And that is why bhakti topic is important. Because nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is stressing this point. Bhaktiyatana nyaya shakya ahameva vidhorjana nyadam drashtam chatatvena praveshtam chaparantava mal karma krada mal paramo mal bhakta sangavarjita. Krishna is pushing that point. But important point is that bhakti, what Krishna is talking about, is a lot different than the way we have many times wrongly understood bhakti. And that's why the next chapter, that is bhakti. Next chapter is bhakti. So everybody likes this word bhakti, isn't it? Everybody likes that. So we're not trying to define bhakti now, because bhakti we discussed earlier also in Narada Bhakti Sutram before. We have seen that. Narada Bhakti Sutram is Narada Maharshi's discussion about bhakti. So Sutram we have seen before. Patanjali has got Yoga Sutram. And Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Brahma Sutram. Isn't it? Siddhartha Maharshi wrote Bhakti Sutram. So this Sutram is a technique that the sages have developed in the past to get the message through in a very comprehensive way, in a very, very condensed form. And in a very subtle level, they wanted to get the message through. So in Yoga Sutram, Patanjali mentioned the purpose of Yoga Sutram. He mentions there, Yogaha Chitta Vritti Nirodhaha. He says, there is one statement in the Yoga Sutram. Chittavritti Nirodham. Chittavritti means constant thoughts coming through. If you can block it, that is yoga, he says. If you have succeeded in that. In other words, stopping this flow of thoughts through the mind, blocking that is Chittavritti Nirodham. And in Brahma Sutram, he took it from the Brahma Sutra and he gave a definition like that. That Chittavritti Nirodham, he calls it as yoga. He calls it as yoga. In Brahma Sutram, Vedavyasa Maharshi gave another definition. What was that? Janmadhyase yataha. That was another definition he gave for Janmadhyase to unnoya itaradas, that first verse. Janmadhyase yataha, that is the definition, that is a sutram from the second sutram in the Brahma Sutram. First sutram is Athado Brahmanyasa, second sutram is Janmadhyase yataha. So, Janmadhyase yataha, Brahma Sutram started with this Janmadhyase yataha. What does that mean? His definition is that in what adhishtanam or basis or what they call substratum, where all these things are appearing, they are remaining in that, and where it disappears, that thing Krishna Vedavyasa Maharshi calls it as satyam, as the truth. Just like the screen. In the screen, the movie comes, it shows everything in the screen, isn't it? The war, the fighting, loving, marriage, party, and all sorts of things, and then everything disappears and the screen remains. So, Janmadhyase yataha, Janmam Adi. Janma means birth. Birth and onwards, everything. Birth means birth, six kinds of changes that's happening. That takes birth, that grows, then it has its byproducts, then it stays for some time, starts decaying, and eventually death. These are the six changes that happens in the body. Not only in the body, in everything in this world. Objects, if you look, they all have a birth sometime. They grow up, they stay for some time, they get destroyed, eventually they die and go away from this world. All objects also. So, including the material body. So, these changes that's happening, it's all happening in the background of the soul, isn't it? It's background of the soul. Because the soul is there, all these things are happening. If the soul is not there, none of these things will happen. That's the principle. So, there, Vedavyasa addressed that as Satyam Bharam Dimahi. That Satyam he mentions like that. He gave that Athado Brahma Jityasa. Then,
When he came to Narada Bhakti Sutram, Narada Maharshi did not define bhakti. If you observe that clearly, you will notice there. So, in other words, in Jnana Margam, you can define Brahmam. Brahmam is Brahma Jijnyasa. It is defined like that. You can have Jijnyasa for Brahmam. In Yogam, they call it as Adesham. Yoga Adeshaha. That means this Chittavritti Nirodham is Adesham. Yoga Adeshaha. But, so, it's like an instruction. It's like an instruction. That sutram, two sutrams, in Patanjali's Yoga Sutram and Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram, it's like an instruction. It's like an instruction. But Narada Bhakti Sutram, what he says is, Athado Bhaktim Vyakhyasyama. That's how he begins. Now I will try to explain bhakti, he says. He's not trying to define bhakti, because bhakti is not possible to define bhakti. It's not possible. Bhakti is so complex, it's not possible even to define what is bhakti. That is the difficulty with bhakti. We think bhakti is simple, isn't it? If we are chanting four regulative principles, if we are following and chanting 16 rounds, we think we are all devotees, bhakti. We are got bhakti, we think. Isn't it? But you can see the problem that jnanam, he has defined in the bhakti, jnana Vedanta Sutram, Brahma Sutram he defined. Yogam Patanjali has defined in the Yoga Sutram. But when it came to Bhakti Sutram, Narada Maharshi says, I can't define bhakti. It's so difficult to define bhakti. So what he says, Atha bhaktim vyakhyasyama. I will start giving the vyakhyam, or in other words, a commentary on about bhakti. But I won't try to define bhakti. He says like that. So he says here, he says, I'm going to start talking about bhakti. A definition is possible, because if you define something, you have to be very precise about it, isn't it? That is the difficulty. If you want to define something, so what he did, in his best capacity, he defined bhakti in the Bhakti Sutram. We have seen that when we discussed Bhakti Sutram. What he said was, anirvachaniya prema swarupam. That is the words he has used for defining bhakti. Straight away he said anirvachaniyam. Anirvachaniyam means something I cannot define. Indefinable, he says. Indefinable prema swarupam, he says. Something, bhakti is not something I can define, he says. Because he doesn't know how to define bhakti. Whereas jnanam, yogam, there is possibility of defining something. Whereas in bhakti it is not possible. So he did not do that. But everybody knows that. That bhakti, we all talk about bhakti and we also propagate bhakti, isn't it? We also propagate bhakti. We tell people everywhere, oh, bhakti is very simple. Prabhu, it's much better compared to jnanam and yogam. It's such a simple process. All you have to do is to get initiated and chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles. That's all. That's bhakti. We say like that. Is it not? So, what you want to say is that Sri Narada Maharshi is finding it difficult to explain bhakti. And we are very confident about bhakti. Very confident we are about ourselves, what we are saying, isn't it? So, and we tell everybody that anyone can follow this bhakti process. And also it's freely available due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. We gave another tweak to it. He says, oh, it's freely available. So the treasure house is open. You just have to open the door. Take it. It's freely available for you. Take it. Why is it that if it's so freely available, after a few years, people are going, leaving everything, if it was freely available? It is not freely available. It's some misunderstanding in our mind about that. So, it is that, and we also tell, oh, it's a process for everybody in this age of Kali. It is the only process that will work. Everything else will not work. We say it like that. So, it is that bhakti Krishna is going to talk about in this 12th chapter. So, so different devotees, depending on the process they have followed. For example, Ramanujacharya spoke about bhakti in one way. And other acharyas also, Madhvacharya spoke about bhakti in a little different way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about bhakti in another way. Vallabhacharya spoke about bhakti in another way. So many acharyas have spoken about bhakti, but why there is differences among all these statements?
So many devotees, for example, Mahaprabhu spoke based on the chanting the holy name, isn't it? Nama Sankirtanam. So, so because this chapter is particularly very favorable for developing bhakti or developing devotion, and it has been commented in that way, before we enter into that, you can see something very interesting here. In the last chapter, Krishna talks about the universal form, isn't it? Visharupa Darshana Yoga, universal form. Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna, and the very next chapter is Bhakti Yoga. And in that 53rd verse, in the universal form, Krishna says, Naham Veder Natapasa Nadane Nachejaya Shakyeva Vido Drishtam Drishtavanasimam Yatha Bhakti Atunanyaya Shakya Ahameva Vido Arjuna Yadum Drishtam Jadatvena Praveshtanja Parandava. Two verses, 53 and 54, I think. Those two verses, isn't it? So he says to Arjuna, Arjuna, the way you have seen me now, you have to see the whole creation in that way, as me. You have to see the whole creation as me. And after seeing that also, Arjuna was not satisfied, isn't it? You can see that. After seeing the universal form, Arjuna was not satisfied. Because Arjuna says here, I'm not happy, I'm getting frightened, I'm having fear and all that things. So, what was the reason that Arjuna was feeling frightened after this? In other words, Arjuna was not matured even at that stage. So, actually what Krishna has done was Krishna has done a little bit of a clever thing there. He did a little clever thing. What did he do? In Srimad Bhagavatam, when you talk about a fully realized soul, if you look into Pipalaya Maharshi's statement, you will see there, Kamvayu Magnim Salilam Mahimja, there is a verse there, that a person who is fully realized, how he will see this world. There is a statement. Now, suddenly exposing Arjuna to this universal form, Arjuna didn't feel like the way Pipalaya Maharshi felt. Arjuna instead got frightened seeing that form, isn't it? Kamvayu Magnim Salilam Mahimja. So, in other words, whole creation has Krishna. Pipalaya Maharshi is saying this. He defines there that a realized person who will be seeing this whole world as Krishna. Nothing separated from them, including himself. Including himself. But Arjuna is seeing everything as though he is separate from that. If you look into that verse, Kamvayu Magnim Salilam Mahimcha, that is that verse in the 11th canto, which is an important verse, because these are the way to understand Bhagavatam. There, he mentions there that the Kamvayu Magnim Salilam Mahim Cham Jyotishim Sattvani. This is Kavi saying this. Kamvayu Magnim Salilam Mahim Cham Jyotishim Sattvani Dishodrumadin Saril Samudram Shahare Shariram Yalkinjabudam Pranamed Ananyaham. He says here, Kam Vayu Agni Salilam Mahi. That means five material elements, earth, water, air, ether, and fire. Apart from that, Jyotimshi Sattvani Disho Drumadin. All the planetary systems and all directions, plants, trees, rivers. Saril Samudramscha. Sarit. Samudra, rivers and the ocean. And the earth, everything is Krishna's body. Hare shariram yal kinjabodam praname dananya. Saril samudramcha hari shariram yal kinjabodam praname dananya. Seeing all this as Krishna's body, Kavi Maharshi says, you should pay your obeisances to all of it. It's a very high degree of realization. In other words, nothing is separated from Krishna. Everything is Krishna, in other words. That realization is strong in Kavi Maharshi's statement. If you remember, in that beginning itself he said, Manye kudaschil bhayam achyutasya. If you are separated, you will feel fear. Fear will come because you are seeing separately from that. And for Arjuna, that is what has happened. He saw himself separated from everything. So suddenly, Krishna put him into this awkward situation. A kind of a magic thing what Krishna has done, suddenly exposed him to this universal form, and Arjuna could not integrate himself with that in his consciousness. He felt himself separate from that, and from that the fear has come in Arjuna's mind. So it was then that so what has Arjuna seen? He identified himself as a individual, and he could not become identify with that universal form of Krishna in any way. He was feeling himself separate. So, as long as that form is separate from Arjuna, Arjuna is seeing that form as an object of fear for himself. Object of fear. Remember, bhayam didiya abhinivesha tasyal. Wherever there is dvaidam, the fear must come. It is a law that fear comes from dvaidam. So this situation where he is seeing this universal form and thinking himself, I am separate from that, I am not a part of that, that has created the fear inside. When he looked at that universal form, he is seeing that universal form is destroying everything. So many things are getting destroyed, and the fear came to him, will I also get destroyed in that universal form? This fear happened to Arjuna. This is how fear develops. Isn't it? First you see a form, and from that form fear comes to you. You start getting affected by that. So that is where Krishna says, Bhaktya to ananyaya shaktya. Without separating yourself from that, you have to see it. In which case you won't get frightened, like in the case of Mahabali, or like in the case of Pipalayana Maharshi, who is talking about it. So that is where why he mentions there that Bhaktya to ananyaya shaktya. Only through ananya bhakti, that means not separated from that truth, if you see it, jnatum drashtum cha tattvena praveshtum cha parandava. Krishna is saying, it is possible to come back to me if you come through that ananya bhakti process, you won't get frightened. But Arjuna did not have that ananya bhakti, and therefore Arjuna got into that little difficulty at that time. All this was a part of Krishna's changing Arjuna's way of seeing things. Because to explain ananya bhakti is a very difficult thing. And because explanation easier than explanation was to expose himself to that. And when he put Arjuna in front of the universal form, Arjuna started experiencing the problem. That he did not have that realization that Krishna is present everywhere in everything, including him. He is also a part of Krishna, is it not? How can he keep himself a separate identity from Krishna? That's not possible. And that is why Arjuna had that problem. And those two verses are introduction to this chapter. We'll continue next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.